nothing to show. My mama had to dance for the money they throw. Mama would do whatever he could. Preach a little gospel. Sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Picked up a boy just south of Mobile. Gave him a ride, fill him with a hot meal. I was 16, he was 21. Go with us to Memphis. Papa would have shot him if he knew what he'd done.
Hello.
Hello.
Not bad. You're
What's
only
not
six,
bad?
You're only 7 minutes late.
I had microphone troubles.
That's
hard to believe it. It's hard to believe.
That was impressive. Impressive.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, very, very good.
That's because I got my stuff ready and been sitting here trying to get it to work for about 20 minutes now.
Yeah.
Or maybe more. Maybe more. But I got distracted because I needed to find some music to listen to while I pumped up for the show.
Nice. Did you get any lo-fi music?
I found some good lo-fi.
Yeah.
I was feeling dank.
Very
getting
cool.
My dank on.
You got
nice.
Your dank on.
Yes.
Did you try that? I don't remember.
The dank beer?
Yeah.
I did try the dank beer.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad. I mean, it smelled better than it tasted.
Yeah, it wasn't as impressive as I was hoping. I think I would drink it again, though. I kind of wanted to have it again.
Yeah, it's kind of dank.
Yeah, like it leaves a little bit of a dank flavor in the back of your throat.
Yeah, kind of like Nerdy Legion.
I don't know who you're talking about.
You have no idea.
Look, if...
Hey, they stole our voices.
If certain podcasts,
I mean, it's one thing to steal your sponsors, but it's another thing to steal your voice.
If other unnamed podcasts can't come up with their own material and need to steal clips from other shows, I don't know. I guess some people have morals in this world, and other people just don't.
They're just... It's not like they did our Patreon and paid for that level of tier where you could steal our material.
That's right. I don't remember. PayPal didn't alert me that we had received new funds.
Yeah, we didn't. Stolen.
That's weird.
And it was in an episode where they talked about paying for things. They said you should pay for things. What the hell?
Mm-hmm. I guess some things they pay for, other things they say.
They feel they can steal.
Yeah. Just go ahead and steal it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and steal it. Without credit, too. They probably take, like, artists' pictures from the internet and erase the artist's name, so
And sell them at cons. That's right.
Make prints of them,
Make
yeah.
prints. Yeah, we've heard about them.
Just take clips from other shows, put your name on top of it, call it your podcast. Done.
If we weren't already millionaires off of this show, I would go after them.
Well, yeah, it's not worth our time. I mean, what are we
Yeah.
gonna get?
It's pennies.
It's
It's
like
not
trying,
worth it.
yeah, it's like trying to sue someone who's bankrupt. You know, what are you gonna
Yeah.
get? What are you gonna get? And I understand, like, the banks now, and they have to foreclose on mortgages because people just don't have the money, you know? What are
Yeah.
you going to do? What are you can't get money from someone who has $0.
Yeah, we're not Donald Trump. We won't do that.
Well, that's another story. Don't know what he'll do.
I can't believe that guy. Every time he speaks, like in front of the Boy Scouts, in front of the police, I just like,
Every day there's something new
yeah,
to behold.
it's like so embarrassing. I can't believe this man is, it's like something out of Idiocracy. It really is.
Has any power whatsoever.
Yeah, he should not. But it is what it is. And
Yes.
hopefully, if they don't approve getting rid of our voter rights, we'll be able to vote him out, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. They'll come up with something to prevent liberals from voting, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
There'll be a bug in the system that just rejects all those votes.
Yeah. You probably already wrote that in one of your short stories. He's probably reading your plots.
Have any political. I never go into the political zone.
Yeah, but you do go into the dystopian zone.
That's true. I do go to the dystopian. I just don't explain how we got to the dystopia.
Yeah. It's pretty easy financially. You crush the financial. Because once you have nothing to barter with, it becomes a thing of survival, and food and water become the most important.
Yeah.
That's usually how you get there, right? Or you blow everything up, and it becomes a dystopian future, and everything is dust.
Yeah, if you take away the resources, then
Did you stay up with The Strain, or you never watched The Strain?
I never watched it. I read
Well,
the
in the
first trade.
previous season, the one of the main characters, the guy that was in Ant-Man, I don't know what his name is, but he's one of the main scientist characters. He, the younger one, he developed weapons to fight these vampires, but his son and his wife became one of those vampires. And the wife used the son, and now the son is against the father, and he's working with the vampires. But before the end of the season, he blew up. He set off a nuke in New York City, and the cloud caused enough coverage of darkness so the vampires no longer were protect. You know, they could come out in daylight because the sun couldn't
Oh, because it
infiltrate
was blocking the sun.
the
Yeah.
sky, yeah. And now they kind of like rule certain parts of the world where it's totally turned dystopian. They use people as cattle, and you're like tagged like in Germany, like as a Jew or something like that, and you supply blood. And for some reason, the vampires love B positive blood. B positive.
Yeah, be positive.
So
And
they,
my wife is be positive.
yeah, and that's
She's dead.
what they're doing is they're, no, they'll live longer than us. If you're B positive,
They'll keep them alive for
they
the
keep
blood.
you alive and they breed you. They
Ah.
literally breed you like cattle. In other words, they impregnate you, you have kids, and then they take your offspring with B plus positive, and then it creates more
Smart.
blood.
Just
Yeah.
because it's more delicious.
I don't know. They haven't They haven't really explained it yet. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting things going on in that show. I can't believe you didn't pick up on that. But you don't have FX anyway, so.
No, it looks like the library has at least 3 seasons on DVD.
That's so good.
I should do that. I should get one. I'll try it. I need to. I mean, I liked the first graphic novel, so I was into the story.
Well, it's Guillermo del Toro. I mean, he's written it and he directed most of the first season, I think. So it's really good. If you like dystopian, if you like, vampires, if you like science, like outbreak stuff, because it's done in a viral way, like Outbreak, the movie, like some kind of,
Yeah, like a,
yeah.
virus.
Contagion.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I like this
Yeah.
stuff.
You like it. You'd also like that one that I told you about, the blood drive. Holy crap.
I actually watched the first episode of the Blood Drive.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I think that, look, some of it I already knew because you already explained it to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as far gone as I thought it would be, probably because you hyped it up
But you haven't gotten that far.
so much. Okay. Yeah,
You
that was
got
just the first
you got you
episode.
gotten as far as where they were fucking in the car, right? To get
Yeah, I got.
past the finish line.
Yes, that's where it
Yeah.
ended.
Yeah, you haven't gotten to
The
the
good stuff.
yeah, the swallow bus or whatever that is, the sperm bus.
Oh, the suck bus.
Suck bus, yeah.
Well, that wasn't in the first episode. They were like spray painting suck bus on the side of a bus.
Yeah, you'll find out what that turns
And he said
into.
something about the suck bus.
Yeah. The suck bus. The suck bus was like a two-parter where it's like a disease, but it's really well done. That one and the burger joint one are probably my favorite. Like they're really well done. But I'm just so glad that it exists because like like so many people wouldn't have like this only appeals to a Grindhouse
It's
people.
very, yeah, it's very Grindhouse.
So people that like that, but that's not a huge market. That can't be a huge market, or we'd see more of it, right? I mean, we know Quentin Tarantino's a fan of Grindhouse and Robert Rodriguez
It's
is a
big
fan of
enough, I mean,
Grindhouse, but
for the movies, so. Although
yeah.
those also attracted people who were fans of the directors, not just fans of
Grindhouse, right?
Grindhouse. Yeah.
But they do things in Grindhouse style, like all the time. I mean, other than Grindhouse, Planet Terror, and whatever the car one was, which is my favorite, Stuntman Mike. I like that.
One funny thing, so I went to the sci-fi website to check out Blood Drive,
Yeah.
and they have a complaint. They have a complaint hotline,
Yeah.
and it's 325-400 DGAF, which is I assume stands for "Don't Give a Fuck."
Well, that's a commercial.
Oh, is that in
It's a one of, it's a commercial in
the
the show
show?
too. Yeah, it's raunchy. Me and Barbara are all caught up, believe it or not. We're only caught up on two shows. Well, actually three, I think. The Strain, Blood Drive, and Battle of the Network Stars. Which I like. It's just a nostalgia thing. A lot of people would hate not like that. It's just what I grew up with, so I enjoy it. And they have old people doing stuff like Potsy from Happy Days and shit like that, think people from Knot's Landing and like
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I've seen a few of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
Potsy was pretty healthy, man. I mean, I was surprised. He's like in his 70s and
he's getting around.
he was doing some physical activities that I just didn't think somebody that age would, be that physical. I just think they put too much weight on the tug of war, because you could go in and you'd be kicking ass on all these events, and then you lose the tug of war, and it seems like you lose the competition.
It does seem to come down to the tug of war. And tug of war, I mean, usually it's going to go to the team who has the most weight, so.
Yeah.
Whoever's the bigger team is usually going
to
win.
Or physical, usually.
Yeah. But if you got the weight, I mean, it's hard to.
Yeah, because you put the heaviest dude, like, you just have him at the anchor, you know? Just put him out there at the end.
Just plop him down. He just sits there. And good luck moving me.
What cracks me up, but I don't know if you've seen some of them, but you get, like, these real athletic guys, like, that look really athletic, and they can't sink a basket for their life. They can't make one fucking basket, and they're like the most physical person. Like, they've never shot a basket in their entire life. I can't remember who was shooting one time. He was like sinking a bunch of them, and it was an older guy. It was the guy from Major League, LA Law. I can't think of his name. He was a lawyer in LA Law, but he
Corbin
was making
Burnson or something?
Yeah. He was making all kinds of baskets.
Well, I saw one where it was Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall. Kids in the Hall, radio.
Yeah.
He's like kind of. He looks like he's out of shape, but he was doing good. Like he did good in the running, and he like sank like I don't know, like six baskets or something. He was on fire.
You know who else did good?
Damn.
Tootie and Blair from The Facts of Life. I was so impressed.
I didn't see that one.
Well, they're old, and they're not thin anymore. Do you know what I mean? They're not like real physically fit, but just the consistency of their athleticism was amazing.
Wait, who was it? Tootie and who?
Tootie and Blair.
Oh, Blair.
Yeah, did you watch The Facts of Life?
Yeah.
You know what was cool about that is those two still remain friends to this day. Like, they're still friends.
Oh, they're still hanging out. That's cool. Yeah, that's and that is my favorite part of the show. Seeing like they had the Chips guys on, Eric Estrada and Punch.
I missed that one. I missed that one because I didn't know it was on. That was one of the earlier ones.
They must have just repeated it lately because
Eric Estrada like doesn't age.
Yeah, he was very young looking.
I think he does like True Blood or something like that. Like, just...
Well, it's funny. He looks kind of young, but then I can't remember what the other actor's name is. John.
Yeah, Punchy
John. He looks old. He looked really old.
yeah. It's crazy.
So the difference, but
well, Eric Estrada did come from like the Mexican soap operas and stuff. So I don't know.
Probably has some kind of vampire blood or something.
Well, and then I think they had Hispanic culture doesn't look as old as the white culture. I don't know why that is, but
well,
you'll typically see that.
So when we're in our 80s, I'll be like this old decrepit.
Yeah, I'll still look like I'm 50, and you'll look like yeah. And then those nerdy Legion guys would be like, his body really isn't a wonderland. What the fuck is that? It's all kinds of wrinkled shit.
No longer wonderland. That is not a wonderland.
Did you see the one with the Osborne kid?
No.
So he has MS, but he competed in that. The one competition where you kind of do everything, you know, you run, you jump, you.
Oh, the obstacle
monkey
course.
Bars. Yeah, the obstacle course. He did awesome, man. And then there was this one dude that looks, he's like one of those pretty boys from CW, except he wasn't in CW. He was like on the relaunch of Dallas, you know, like I think he was JR Jr. or something like that. That guy threw up. He like ran. And he barely won. The other guy almost lapped him, the older dude. And then he got to the finish line, and they had to give him oxygen, and he threw up all over the place. He was like, blah!
That's embarrassing. They're not even running that far.
And then he came back, though. He had a good comeback. He came back and won.
I think I saw that one.
Yeah.
Was that the one? There was one that had Todd Bridges on.
No shit.
That
Where
might
the
have been.
fuck are we? Am I not recording all of these or
Maybe
what?
that might have been the Eric Estrada one. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's the one I missed. I know I missed that one. And
Yeah.
I missed the David Foley because I don't remember him from News Radio and the Kids in the Hall.
Oh, you don't remember that one?
No.
Yep. Man, you're behind. What are you doing?
No, I didn't know this show was on. Like, you know how they're doing
I only started like recently recording it.
the
Maybe I
retro.
might have to add
Yeah.
conflicts.
When I was a kid, though, this was like a way that you could get like the $6 million Dollar Man, Bionic Woman, and the Incredible Hulk all in the same show. Like, you could have Bill Bixby, John Ritter from Three's Company. Like, it was just awesome, you know? When I was a kid, I just like loved it because it was
Yeah.
all my favorite shows in this competition. And it's the same competitions, but it was just seeing the stars. Now it has that retro feel. Like, there's a lot of new actors.
Yeah, but they all, I mean the fun part is that they have a lot of the old actors. A lot of them actually were on the show when they were younger.
Yeah.
And it's always fun when they show like clips of them when they were on the show when they were young. And also, like at the beginning of the show, they kind of show the original credits, or not credits, but whatever it's called.
Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, the original opening to the
Yeah,
show.
and they wear those dumb yellow jackets that they used to have, that Howard Cosell used to have. Do you remember? Because Howard Cosell used to host it.
They show clips
This
from him
is
sometimes.
Howard Cosell with. Yeah, I enjoy it.
It's pretty funny.
I usually pick a team for Barb and I say, Barb, that's your team. And then I'll pick the team with all the people that I like. Like,
The people you know.
yeah. So I'll get like, you know who's a real jerk? Did you see the Wonder Years team? They had the sister and the brother from the Wonder Years.
I think I did.
That guy would
I
not
saw that one.
wear his red shirt. Like,
Yeah.
it would make him look fat, or he didn't want to wear it. I don't know what his problem was.
Yeah, I think on that one, I think they had a kid. Was that the one they had a kid from Roseanne on there too?
Yeah,
Yeah.
he was pretty good athlete, the kid from Roseanne.
Yeah. But
He
he's
was
younger. But...
just a well-rounded. No, he wasn't younger. Those Wonder Years guys came way after the Roseanne kid, I think. Either that or he didn't age well.
Well, Roseanne was on in the what, mid-80s?
Yeah.
What was the Wonder Years? I mean, it was I don't know which came first. That's a good question. I'm gonna
I
look it
think
up.
the Wonder Years was pretty late in the game because I started to lose track of TV when the Wonder Years
Yeah,
came on.
you're right. Wonder Years is probably later. Yeah, Wonder Years is late 80s.
So he was probably in that show the most well-rounded athlete, like just could
Oh, I don't
consistently.
know. They actually, Wonder Years and Roseanne started the same year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're contemporary shows, apparently.
I don't remember. They weren't on the same team, though, right?
I don't remember.
Maybe they were on the same team. That was a weird team. That was like TV soaps versus ABC comedies or something like that. ABC stars. That was weird.
Yeah, they come up with weird groupings. Apparently, whoever was available that day.
Yeah, they had the Knots Landing girl lady, but she only competed in like two things, I think. And she was awesome at tennis. I mean, it's like everybody sucks at
Oh yeah,
tennis.
I saw that one. Yeah, she's
She
awesome at
was the
tennis.
most impressive tennis player that we've seen all season.
And there was
But
one
they
with,
said she plays tennis every day.
yeah, that's what she does
Yeah.
every day.
You know what I'm surprised about? The event that really surprised me that they don't show much of, but the lack of, I mean, the amount of suck on it surprises me because these guys are, at least when celebrities used to make money, it is golf. Because golf is one of those sports that you usually have to learn to schmooze.
Right.
And they suck.
Apparently
oh
not in
God.
Hollywood. Apparently not in Hollywood.
No, but I am not a good golfer. Like, I am the worst. But I think I could beat every one of those celebrities at golf.
The best one, I think it was the Todd Bridges one. Yeah, because Todd Bridges, he got it right in the water. And then I think it was Lorenzo Lamas.
What the hell did I miss? It sounds like I missed the best fucking episode of the year. The Chips guys? Holy crap. I can't believe I missed it. Were they on the same team?
I don't remember I can't remember the teams, what the breakout of the teams was. Well, let's see. It was Cops versus...
So they had to be, if there were Chips, it would be those two.
I think it was
Cops.
Yeah, I can't remember. There was one, maybe it was Cops versus Sitcoms, or that might have been a different one, Sitcoms.
Huh.
Maybe you missed two.
I think the first two episodes, and then I've been DVRing them and watching them ever since.
But they replayed them.
Unless they had the latest one. What was the latest? Do you keep up with it? Does Melanie watch it with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does she watch it back?
I mean,
in
we
the
just
day?
Have it on. Like,
did she watch it back in the day too?
No, she never heard of it.
Oh man! See, me and Barb used to watch it back in the day, so we have fun with it. Like, we were like, okay, this is my team and this is your team. Who's gonna win? I think we're about 50-50 right now, but because that damn tug of war, I always do good until tug of war.
Oh yeah, the Todd Bridges is the latest one.
Okay, then I could still watch it. On. I could still watch that one.
Yeah, that's the one. That's Cops versus Sitcoms. So that's the one.
That's well, that one I still need to watch, so I'll watch that tonight. That's what I'll watch on the elliptical. I'll watch that.
It is a good show to watch while you're doing other things. Mm-hmm. Perfect background show.
Yeah. It's entertaining. Like, it's not for everyone. I think it's more of, like, me and you nostalgia factor than anything.
Yeah, it's good if you're from our generation because you remember all these stars from the past.
And this show was a big deal in my household, man. I mean, it was like a real sport. My mom, dad, everybody would root for, you know, whoever.
A referral team, yeah.
Yeah. It was like watching the NFL. That's how big Battle of the Network Stars was. And back when I was a kid, Tug of War was the shit. Now I think they put too much weight on it, but that was my favorite part of the event when they were playing Tug of War.
The other thing I didn't like back in the past is they always have, like, stars on that I had no idea who they were. For all the, like, older, the later night shows, like the Dallases and the Knott's Landing and stuff.
Yeah. Well, Barb knows who those are. I didn't watch that. Well, I mean, I knew them from the commercials. Like, there's no way you would not know who J.R. Ewing is, right? I mean, it's hard not to know that. Or Bobby, because he's the man from Atlantis, right?
They had a... Catherine Bach was on an episode?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
The recent one?
Or no, she was... One? I'm just looking at I'm looking at a list of episodes. Apparently an older one, yeah. I guess. I don't know. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Look at all these stars. Amazing.
But they had, what's his name from Dallas, which is the man from Atlantis, and I didn't know him from Dallas, but I knew him from the man from Atlantis.
Oh, they had...
Patrick Duffy.
Yeah, Patrick Duffy. Man, how old is he?
I don't know, but Patrick Duffy wasn't on the new one. He was on the old one.
Oh, on the old one. Okay.
Yeah. I used to try to swim like that when I was a kid, and it's, like, hard because it's not a good swimming thing. Like, underwater, he'd try to swim like a dolphin, and your body is not meant for that.
Oh, and
Yeah, because you could just straight swim and you'd beat me. Like, I'd be like, I want to swim from the man from Atlantis. And I'd be like, all doing that funky little fish
Yeah,
move. And
you wouldn't be moving.
I wouldn't be moving at all. Like, God damn, this shit doesn't work.
You don't have a fin at the back of you. And
That's
your body
right.
doesn't move that way. He did though.
Barb says there's a, I mean, Barb. Bill says there's a Battle of the Network Stars with Todd Bridges. Yeah. I thought it was the one we didn't watch yet. He's already seen it. She says you haven't seen it yet.
Okay,
So
I predict that I'm going to
everything you
predict the
told me,
finale.
that's. Hey, you went to the future?
I predict Todd Bridges competes in the obstacle course.
Huh? He does watch Battle of the Network Stars. He saw it. Do you watch it on ABC?
Yeah, on TV.
Yeah, on TV. Yeah. And he said we missed the Chips guys. How could we have missed that?
It might be the same one.
Well, it might be the same one. So we might have only missed the one that we you just watched.
Yeah, but the one that hasn't aired yet, apparently.
Yeah, that hasn't aired yet. You, how do you get, do you know the stars? Do they like tell you what the outcome of the show is before it comes out?
I just know Todd, so.
Oh, you knew Todd? Todd Bridges? Do you hang, is that where he used to smoke stuff with?
That's right. I
Was
learned a lot.
he one of the
I learned a
Heshers
lot.
and Burnouts he used to hang out with? Todd Bridges?
I was at a con one year, and I was walking past the Heshers in the Burnout section. There's Todd Bridges, and so I
There's
went up to him
Todd
and I said,
Bridges.
"Are
And he
you
said,
Todd?" And he said, "Yes."
you should check me out on Battle of the Network Stars. I actually won the competition.
So we talked, and yeah, Todd. I predict that they will show a clip of Todd Bridges when he was younger, doing the
Competing.
obstacle course, competing, and he got caught up in the net. That was
Oh,
his thing when he was a
they're gonna
kid.
show him in the, they're gonna, Bill's predicting this. He's putting on his, what was the Johnny Carson,
Oh,
thing he's with the
Karnak.
hat, Karnak? Yeah, he's, Bill is doing Karnak and he's predicting Todd Bridges, they'll show him in the past and he's gonna be climbing the rope and he's gonna get his foot caught in it. Yeah, it'll
I
be a bet.
predict Dave Foley will do well in basketball.
Dave Foley will do well in basketball. He
That's
predicted that,
my
Barb.
prediction.
We'll see if he could really tell the
Let's
future.
see if I
Someone
can
we
tell
have
the future.
recorded. Huh?
Someone we have recorded.
Yes, but it's not that Bill's watching it live.
No, we went. It's recorded.
I know it's
That's
recorded, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. You act like it didn't happen. What?
You need to check your
You said it
DVR.
hasn't aired yet.
No, I said it was the, if it was the one we missed.
But you're acting like we're real time. Like Keith Knudsen used to be. He used to have to watch everything real time. Now he's got a DVR, but.
This DVR has screwed people's minds up. Now they don't know what's on
Yeah,
now or.
Barb's telling you. She didn't even like say, "Well, I wonder if he's right." She just said, "Bill's wrong and it hasn't aired yet."
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet because I haven't watched it yet. That's right.
Haven't watched it yet, so it didn't happen.
That's right. That's like saying, what was that show? Constantine hasn't been canceled yet because I haven't watched the last episode. It's never canceled.
Yeah, you haven't watched the last episode?
I did.
That kind of pissed me off about Constantine though, because it ended like on a,
It was awesome.
no, because it's like the world was ending and it ended like with that voodoo guy. Like it was
I know. Well,
that guy
it
was
sucks that we
awesome.
don't get a resolution for it.
Yeah, it's like bullshit. It's like you it was one of those shows for me that it like built and built and built and it just
Oh,
get
it's
kept getting
awesome.
better and
Yeah.
better, getting better and better with every episode. And then it's like, no, we're off the air now, and you fuck you guys. And then the
I
only
know
way you
it
could
had
see
built
him.
to such an amazing point too. It was like, oh, remember
Because
that hot Was the last episode the hospital episode?
No, it was later, because it was when the world was merging with the demon portal. Like it. The hell was breaking.
Well, that was the whole season. Was that it was slowly.
Yeah, but at the end, he had like that final confrontation with the voodoo guy. I forget what his name is. Papa Midnight. Because Papa Midnight had his own comic book. Plus, he was in Hellblazer. But
he had his own comic? I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, he had a one-shot. Just a one-shot.
Oh, one-shot.
Papa Midnight. Papa Midnight. Papa Giorgio.
Papa.
From Vacation.
They spell Papa.
P-A-P-A. Papa. Are you looking in your database to see if you have it?
I know I don't have it.
It's a Hellblazer special. It probably doesn't have his name in it. Well, maybe it does.
Let me look up Hellblazer. Oh, is it just a Hellblazer special? Then I might have it. Let's see. Hellblazer.
Title. Let's say Papa. Midnight.
Oh, there it is. Papa Midnight. I spelled Midnight wrong. There's a trade paperback. Oh, maybe it's just a one-shot.
What is it called? The title of it.
Oh, it was 5 issues. Wait, this is It's this Hellblazer special, Papa Midnight. But Midnight spelled like N-I-T-E.
Oh, that's why I couldn't...
Yeah, I don't have this. Oh, man. I got on late on the Hellblazer train.
Keith has been reading it a lot from the library. Like, he's read like 4 or 5 trades in a row.
That's one of the ones I eventually want to get a full run of that. I think I have a ways to go.
It's one of the ones that I don't own too much of. I own pieces. Very sporadic on that title.
Yeah, me too.
For it being a DC title, I've jumped out of Vertigo many a times.
Oh, yeah, my collection of Hellblazer is pathetic.
I was there at the beginning, so I had like 1 through 16, and then I lost my way until about 50, and then I stayed with it till 84, and then I dropped off again. And then came back at like 230.
I have 230 through 235.
Ah.
Nice run there. That's my biggest run.
But if you look at the writers, you have, you know, Jamie Delano, who started it off. You have Grant Morrison issues, Garth Ennis. That's the one that I own, because I'm a freak for Garth Ennis. You had Eddie Campbell, Paul Jenkins, Warren Ellis, Brian Azzarello.
I didn't know Eddie Campbell wrote some of it.
He only wrote 3 issues. Mike Carey, Denise Mina, I don't know who that is. Andy Diggle, I own a lot of his. Why did I see Jason Aaron? I think I was seeing things. Warren Ellis, Mike Carey, Andy Diggle, Brian Azzarello. Yeah, I was seeing things. I thought I saw Jason Aaron there for a second. I was like, I don't remember him writing anything. Peter Milligan wrote it for quite a while.
Yeah, he did it for a long time.
Oh, Jason Aaron did do 2 issues. He did... a two-parter called Newcastle, 245 and 246. So Jason.
Really?
Aaron,
that must have been early Jason Aaron.
Probably around the time he did The Other Side, his first Vertigo book, right?
Yeah, probably. Well, maybe that's.
The Vietnam one. Yeah, you read that one, right?
I don't think I read it, but I think
You're
I have.
You're aware of it.
Yeah, I think I have the trade. What did he do? 240-something? I don't have those. I don't have any.
245 and 246.
I don't have those.
Well, you don't have Jason Aaron Hellblazer then.
I don't. Oh, my Hellblazer is pathetic.
I do own Jason Aaron Hellblazer.
Damn it.
Because I came back with Andy Diggle. Because I like him. So I have the Garth Ennis and Andy Diggle. But then Garth Ennis came back and I didn't get his new stuff. So I'm. No, those are books. I do have all of Garth Ennis's, which is probably the most important writer of that group to me personally.
Didn't he? Who did like 281?
281. That was towards the very end.
Yeah.
That was Peter Milligan.
Oh, Milligan. Okay. I knew someone came back, but.
And he was also doing Shade the Changing Man. Well, probably not this late in the game, but early on of the Hellblazer run.
Think I have a full run of Shade.
That series got too weird for me. That was another one I dropped off of, but at some point I wanted to read because I liked the concept of Shade, but it's Ditko created, so I like read the original series and then but the Shade that I'm most comfortable with is the Suicide Squad Shade. Because I love Suicide Squad, so when he was in it, that was like my shit. But it's definitely more grounded because Milligan was out there with the Meta Vest and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was big into that for a while. It
During your Heshing and Burnout phase,
was
probably.
during my Vertigo years. That was my goth era.
Yeah. Did you wear your hair like M-Bat's?
I was never that cool.
You're never that cool.
Of course, the Jason Aaron Hellblazers are more expensive. That figures. Oh, art by Sean Murphy. Dang. Why don't I own those?
Because you don't find them in a dollar bin, and you must have jumped off. You must have not. Sounds like you came on late to the game for some reason.
I did on Hellblazer. I came on late. I
I
never
was
got it
I was there from the
back in
beginning
the
because of
day.
Swamp Thing. So I jumped over, like I knew his character. He wasn't my favorite, but I knew who he was.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't because I was into all the Vertigo. I don't know. I just stayed away from Hellblazer for some reason. What a fool I was. Now I'm
Yeah.
paying the price.
But you could always go back and trade and read it. I mean, it's like one of those evergreens. It's always out there, right?
That is true. I could do a Keith and see what's at the library.
I
See
think
if they
it's
have
the
anything.
longest running Vertigo title ever. I think. There's nothing close. Like Fables didn't hit 280. No way. Fables was like 150. And then Sandman wasn't that long. What else is there? There's nothing that's gone that long as Hellblazer.
My library does not have any. Oh, wait. No, they don't have any. Didn't
Don't
get
have one.
volume.
You don't have one trade of Hellblazer.
It doesn't look like it.
Well, that's hard to believe. Because they've been re-releasing the trades in the previews.
Yeah, they have some newer. Oh wait, they do have one. I lied. They have one.
Probably the first one, or is it what is who's the
Trying
writer on that?
to. Peter. It's Peter Milligan. No, it's issues 267 to 275.
Ah. Well, there you go.
I could read that. I wonder if I might have the. Let's see if I have the first trade. Let me pull up my spreadsheet. Do a little computation.
You
Beep
can't
boop beep.
find anything in your spreadsheet.
Hellblazer. I do not. Lady Constantine. I have that. What is that?
Lady Constantine. Lady Constantine. That's not the title of it.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Hellboy Lady Constantine.
I'll give you the official title if I can find Lady Constantine. Lady Constantine.
Written by Andy Diggle.
It's a Hellblazer special, Lady Constantine. Don't lie to me.
Yes. Hellblazer, Lady Constantine.
Let's see if I can find that Papa Midnight thing again. I didn't know it was spelled wrong. Papa Midnight. That official title is John Constantine - Hellblazer Special - Papa Midnight. That's the official title in the inside page of the comic book. For those of you who want to look up the appropriate title and not listen to this Bill's nonsense.
The cover of Lady Constantine number 4 at first glance looks like a very dirty cover, but
I didn't look at the cover, but now I want to look at it. Now
look
that
at the cover.
It. Okay, so I have to go back to search because I don't remember what. Oh, it's Hellblazer Special.
Yes, Lady Constantine.
Why do I not see this?
Number 4.
Hellblazer Special. God dang it.
I think it's Hellblazer - Special - Lady - Constantine.
Lady Constantine. There you go. I want to see the cover. Okay. A cover 1?
4.
4. Ooh. What is going on there? That's like a hand going right for a crotch.
That's what it looks like. I don't think it's actually, but that's certainly what it appears to be.
It looks like a Pirate Times book, right? Because look at the muskets.
Muskets.
I can't really tell from the costume, but yeah, she's got muskets. Look at issue 2.
Oh, on 2, yeah.
Even 1. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
The
year
Lady
is 1785.
There you go. You can also get the trade. It's got
I have
a
the
trade.
Trade. I have
you
the trade.
You have it?
I do.
Oh. I don't own this. But we went down a Hellblazer.
I was trying to remember where we left.
Rabbit hole.
Where did we start?
Battle of the Network Stars?
That's possible.
Led us to Constantine. Maybe it's like in the
oh,
back
yeah,
of our
right.
minds, we want him to compete in Battle of the Network Stars.
That would be great. I do wonder if on Battle of the Network Stars, if they're eventually going to get to like newer celebrities.
Well, that would be awesome if they'd have like TV heroes, right? You'd have like Arrow and all the CW.
Mm-hmm. Because that would be good competition, though. It's funnier with the old guys.
I like the old guys. But the interesting thing about the old guys is they're better than the young guys.
Some cases.
In most cases that I've seen. It's because these young guys, they grew up in the iPad generation, man. They don't know how to do anything except swipe the screen, man.
The fingers are very agile, but the
yeah.
rest of them.
So,
sad.
We got some comic books that we've read.
We do. Several comic books.
Yeah. So you found
Welcome
another...
to Geek Brunch.
Welcome to Geek Brunch.
Where we talk about comics.
And you can steal our voices and put it on your own podcast.
Geek Brunch podcast is copyright 2017. Geek Brunch Incorporated. Comic Book Noise Incorporated. Who owns the rights to this? William Boomer Incorporated. Geek Brunch Comics Incorporated.
I own the rights. Actually, me and Heath, you don't own anything. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Geek Brunch is copyright Heath Holland. But
that's
by his rights.
Probably true. I think he came up with the name.
I'm going to go to the patent office right now.
You're going to patent it?
Patent pending. Trademark. Official. I have to do it before this episode airs.
There you go.
Mary Lee is going to steal our podcast.
It'll show up on the Nerdy Legion. Except it'll just be Geek Brunch. It'll be our voices, and they'll put like a Nerdy Legion intro to it. And say, we're on the Nerdy Legion now. So, what book do you want to cover first?
Why don't you choose?
Well, I'll choose the one that I didn't buy and I didn't intend to buy, but I got it digitally so I could read along.
All right.
The Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Oh, Shirtless Bear Fighter. Yeah. From Image Comics.
I did not buy this. It was entertaining. Like, I enjoyed it, but I'm not like, I gotta go get this now.
You're not hopping on the rest of it?
Yeah. Because it's pretty straightforward. Like, it's entertaining. It's a naked guy that grew up with bears that could fight bears. And the government needs him to fight these
bears. Robot bears.
And he gets paid in flapjacks and syrup.
Yes. And he's naked.
Yeah, he's naked.
Yeah, because I think, he was raised by bears, but then he was recruited to the police force, he must have been, or something. But then he went back to the wild, and now they're trying to bring him back to fight these bears. And he flies in a bear plane.
Did you get the nude variant where you could actually see his dingling on the cover?
No, I just got the regular. He's wearing pants. I didn't know there was a...
That would be an interesting one to have. Cover. You might have to seek that out, my friend.
I might. I don't know if I'm going to pay extra for his dong schlong.
I did get my Savage Dragon.
I did pay extra for my Savage Dragon. I haven't got it yet, though. It hasn't shipped yet. It's being held hostage. Speaking of, that's because you're premier access level.
Yeah, I'm super level.
I used to get quick shipments, but I don't anymore. Yeah, so I like Shirtless Bear Fighter. I thought it was quite humorous. And I'm with you. I mean, it could have been just a one-shot, and it would have been fine.
I liked up to the point, I think, where they came up with the bear plane. Like, I was like, this is ridiculous. But I was into it when it was like this guy raised by bears.
Living in the forest.
Yeah, and it looks like one of the bears, like one of his, like maybe even his brother bear killed his woman. And that's why he hated bears, right?
That's why he turned on the bears.
Yeah.
And I like, throughout the book, when they show him, they like pixelize his wiener.
Well, maybe that's down. The way the cover looks, because when I mouse over the nude variant, it says censored. I don't know if they do like the blood drive thing, you know?
Oh, with the big bar over the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if it's digitized. It looks like it's digitized here, but sometimes the people doing the covers edit it, so it's hard to tell.
So, were you impressed with the Savage Dragon cover?
I was glad I got it. I kind of regretted not getting the other three.
Why?
I don't know. It's just something with Eric Larson. Like, just.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't do a lot of variant covers, does he?
No. I just like the guy a lot. And he did the other covers, so I don't know. It's just an expensive book. It's like $7.99. I mean, we got it for cheaper, but.
Yeah, but it's like, what is it, like 100 pages or something?
Yeah. I was thumbing through it 'cause I'm not caught up on ready to read it yet, but I did know it had the original Savage Dragon I've never read. You know his very
Yeah, the
first.
graphic fan. Yeah, isn't the back cover like the cover to the original comic?
Yeah. So I was like, I just wanted to thumb through it and see, like, his fin was really tiny and stuff, and I don't know, it was kind of cool to see, and I'm really interested to read that almost more than the whole book because I don't own that, you know, whatever it came out
Yeah,
in.
very few people on that. Yeah, 'cause was that when he was in high school that that was released?
Yeah.
'Cause I think it was like him and a bunch of his friends put together a like basically a fanzine with their comics, and Savage Dragon was one. It was actually interesting on his Facebook page when he was coloring the I think he colored is the colors or the issue was colored, right?
Yeah.
The flat, because originally when they published it, it was just black and white, you know, photocopies probably. But he was coloring it, and he didn't know what color some of the characters should be that other people created, because obviously they were never in color. So
Yeah.
he was reaching out to the other creators,
Asking him
saying,
what.
"Yeah, what color did you want these guys to be?" So it was pretty funny. But I think that.
I like this, but I don't know if I'll read it anymore. I like the art. I like his art style.
Yeah, I did too. Who was the See, artist is Nil Vendrell. Yeah, I like the art as well. It's kind of
Yeah, I thought it was
a
a fun. It like fit the book perfectly. Like sometimes
It
they
did, yeah.
mare up the content with the artist, and it just seemed like a natural fit for his style, you know? Very smooth. In other words, the story was very smooth. The
The
writer and the
storytelling,
artist
yeah.
worked really well together. So that was the one that I didn't get, and then the other one that I didn't get, but I should have gotten because I did my issue two bullshit again where I ordered it. I'm like, God damn it, why does Bill pick these goddamn books that.
The
Yeah.
ones
I'm like, do I just like subconsciously. Bill will order the number one, so I'll get the number two.
I don't have to get the number one because Phil will get that. I'll start with the
But
number two.
I had every intent to buy it. Like, I wanted to buy it was Jazz Maynard.
Yeah,
Like,
Jasmine.
I read the solicit. And I really wanted it, and I don't know why I didn't order it. I didn't order one or two. I ordered three and four, so I don't know what the hell happened there.
How do is one and two? That may be a first. We've started with number three.
Yeah, so I did get this digitally, and I read that too. And that one I really enjoyed. Like that one I know I want to read.
Yeah, so this is from Lion Forge as part of their Magnetic Collection, which I believe the Magnetic Collection is reprinting European comics, I think. Don't quote me on that. Well, you can quote me on
I
that.
don't think so because Magnetic Press came, like they early on they did the Blink 182 guy comic.
Right, and Blink 182 is a European band.
No, they're not.
I Okay, perhaps Magnetic Collection is just to separate them from their superhero line, Catalyst. That is also a possibility. Unlikely, though. Unlikely.
Yeah, yes, I don't know. Magnetic Press used to have their own section in previews, and it's like they got consumed or...
They get merged or something?
They said, hey, we're going to let Lion Forge publish us. Maybe that's it. Like, we'll be a sub-label under their... Because Lion Forge has, like, an all-ages one. They have the Magnetic Press stuff, which is... It's more like their image. Like, anybody could do whatever they want. And then they have
a lot of European comics coming through there.
Continuity based universe, the Catalyst universe.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's the.
So they're kind of like the Boom, like Boom does with their kid line, and then their Boom All Ages, and then their Boom Box, and then they have their regular lineup.
Right.
This one I really liked because it read to me like if I wanted to do a Shadow Man comic with Jack Boniface, I would definitely do it like this.
Where something like this.
Yeah, he's a musician that's a badass. Like he knows what he's doing. He went to go rescue his sister, and that like backfired on him because then they went after him. But he's an awesome musician.
This starts out the story starts out where Jazz is and his friend are getting beat up by some dudes, like they're tied to chairs, and you find out that Jazz received a letter from his sister, so that she is in trouble. so he's trying to go find her and save her. So he goes back to... Okay, were they in New York or were they in Barcelona? I don't remember where they...
I don't remember, but it sounded like it was where their parents were, wherever that
right.
was.
Yeah, so he goes
back Jazz to hasn't seen his parents in, like, forever, and his sister gives him hell for it, you know? But I don't remember the location. Are you looking for it or what?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Oh, I think that his sister was so his sister was in New York and he was trying to rescue her from there, and then he goes back to their home village or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like this. I like it a lot as well.
So I have 3 and 4 coming, but I don't have 1 and 2. So I don't know how that happened. I found a lot of that with this. Like, I knew I didn't order Shirtless Bear Fighter. So if it was just the one, I probably would have not read it and just let you talk about it. But because I knew I wanted Jazz Maynard, I was like, I might as well just read this too. And I don't regret reading Shirtless Bear Fighter. It's just like I read it, and I think it was pretty well done. I just didn't think I needed to read it anymore.
Right. Now, yeah, it definitely was a lighter, humorous book, whereas Jazz Maynard's more of a crime.
It almost felt to me, Jazz Maynard. Felt to me like it would fit into the Hard Case Titan Comics books, like really
it,
well.
It would very much, yeah.
Like fit right exactly into it, because it's like that noir stuff. Like it fits right into it. Like what they're trying to achieve with that line. Like I'm even buying the ones that are based on the what do you call it books, the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy.
Oh, you are?
I just love the Hard Case stuff. So I'm all in. I even bought 2 novels. Don't.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? What are you gonna do with those?
Look at the covers.
That sounds about right. Fantastic. We want to jump to our Titan book.
Well, one of them was written by. man, we talk about him all the time. Yeah, he does Miss Tree.
Michael or Max Allen Collins.
Yeah, Max Allen Collins. So
I have, you just triggered something in my brain. I have one of his books from Arcades. I wonder if we have the same one.
Query is the one that I got.
I don't think I got that one. Is it? I don't see it on my shelf. What did I do with that son of a bitch? Well, I'll never read it now. Yes, I do. I do have a hard case. They got like a long time ago. They must have started with books.
Yeah, they haven't had a Stephen King one. God, their covers are just so pulpy.
They did.
They're so freaking pulpish. Well, I went to the store, and there. Do you remember the old sci-fi pulp covers that used to be in magazines and such? Well, Dark Horse. I like went over to. I was at the comic shop picking up my books, which is just DC for the most part. But I looked at these covers, and I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, what are these? Because number two was titled like Science Fiction, something Anthology Adventures, and the other one was a different science fiction one. And I'm like, I don't remember seeing these in previews. And the owner came by and said, that's Mass Effect, the video game or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, it doesn't say Mass Effect on the cover at all. Like, what are they doing here? And he says, oh, those are variants. And I was like, wow. They're freaking amazing. But it was like those pulp covers are very addictive to me.
Yeah,
like
they draw you in.
They suck me in like nobody's business.
Yeah, and at the back of the Trigger Man trade, there's an article about the history of Hard Case, the Hard Case books. By the editor, he's telling like how they started it and stuff.
Yeah.
And basically, it was because there weren't any pulp books on the shelf, and they loved them, so they wanted to start bringing them out. And so they went out and they got some books by some big names like Stephen King and Lawrence Block. The Harlan Ellison one.
I'm interested in the Stephen
Michael
King
Crichton,
one.
Michael Crichton one.
Because I didn't know Stephen King did that crime noir stuff. Like I had no idea he did a novel like that.
Yeah, here, let me see what it says. So, okay, Hard Case Crime published its first title, Grifter's Game, by Lawrence Block in 2004, followed by novels written by Max Phillips and me, who is Charles Ardai. And then it says our launch got covered by pretty much every major newspaper and magazine, and then Stephen King decided to write a book for us. And then fast forward a decade, Hard Case Crime has published more than 100 books, including discoveries by major authors like Michael Crichton and James M. Cain and Gore Vidal. Apparently they have a lot of books.
Holy moly. Like if you go to Titan Books and you look at their brands and you search for Hard Case, oh my God, these covers are just...
They're awesome.
They are freaking to die for. Like, oh my goodness.
Well, they're paying tribute to the covers that were specifically made back in the day to get people to pick up the books right off the 10-cent rack or whatever.
I'm addicted to these covers. They're freaking phenomenal. Like I'm looking at them right now, and I want to read every single one of these books. There's even a Michael Crichton one.
Mm-hmm.
Drug of Choice.
I think there might be...
Whoever they get to draw these, I am absolutely in love with these covers. These are like old school covers of books when they used to really put like that painted look on it that looks real. It looks so real.
Yeah, the realism.
So Michael Crichton writing as John Lang. He did like Grave Descend. Oh man, this is. Some of these covers are just. Stephen King did Joyland. That's the one that I want to read.
Yeah, I'm not a big Stephen King fan, but I'd like to. I would read the Joyland, because a pulpy book that takes place at a carnival is right up my alley. And if it's shorter, then maybe Stephen King didn't get too flowery with his.
But look at the Max Allen Collin ones, man. The Quarry ones, they look awesome. I mean,
I wonder which
one
I have.
They're like a whole series of them.
I have to do a search here.
Or that amazing cover of the Getting Off. It's an awesome cover. Holy moly. It says Getting Off, a novel of sex and violence.
Did they do a mystery book?
I don't think so. I can't find it if they did it. I mean, I haven't gone through all the pages yet. There's so much here. There is so much.
Oh, Deadly Beloved. I think that's the one I have. Let me click on it.
Did you read it?
It is a mystery one. No, I have it, though. I believe it's mystery. It looks like mystery on the cover. No, I guess it's not. Wait. Yeah, mystery it is. The cover by Terry Beatty. Did I tell you at a recent... Yeah, I told you at a recent con I got some mystery pages, right?
No.
Did I tell you that?
I don't think you did. If I did, I don't remember. I always remember King Snake, but I don't remember a mystery one.
Boss Snake, yes.
Yeah,
yeah, so
Snake,
I was like
Boss Snake.
It was this summer.
I prefer if it was King Snake.
King
That's
Snake.
The Robin villain. It's Tim Drake's main villain, man.
You default to DC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at a library con a couple months ago, and they had like the Artist Alley room, so I went through there, and then right outside the Artist Alley room there's a dealer, and he had like a bunch of older stuff, like older books and older comics. So I was looking through him a bit, and I noticed he had like some original art portfolios, so I was flipping through those.
Yeah.
And I came across a lot of the stuff was pretty cool, but nothing either that I couldn't afford or just wasn't interested in. And then I came upon these mystery pages, and how much were they? I think they were the $35 or $45 each. I was like, son of a bitch. And there's like three of them, so I said, I'll take them all. I think they were $35, which is ridiculously cheap for them. And I'm like, I'll take them. So I took all three of the mystery pages. And I actually didn't have enough money for all of them. So I said, can you hold these? I'm going to go find an ATM. So I had to go find an ATM and get money. So I now have, I finally have three mystery pages with Terry Beatty art.
Cool.
I was always a big fan of that series. And it was actually interesting when I bought them, he had to write it down. Well, he looked at the pages and he was writing them down, and he said that two of the pages he's actually reselling them for other people. He said two of them were from I don't know who it was, and one of them was actually from Max Allen Collins. Like he was selling it for Max.
Yeah.
So apparently he knows him, so he's selling a page for him. Like, cool.
So you must have saw this book in the Titan scene and said, oh, it's Max Allen Collins and it's Miss Tree. I want to buy it or something.
Yep. That's it?
Yeah.
That's why I own it. But I don't know where it is. I thought it was on the shelf right here, but I don't see it. Wait! I think I see it. I'm going to stand. It is. I found it. Here it is.
Well, you should read it.
I should read a passage.
Open up to the middle page and like the middle of the book and just read something.
I was going to read for the first page. I got
okay,
the middle
you
page.
can. How does it open up?
I don't know. I got to find the first page.
You can't find the first page?
Here it is. It was near the beginning. Okay. The woman in the skimpy black bikini.
Oh, I like this already. You sold me already.
Oh, here we go. The woman in the skimpy black bikini on the perfect beach on the too perfect day was me.
Ah.
I saw her from a godlike distance, the long legs stretched out, shoulders back accentuating the full bust, black hair brushing tanned shoulders with the help of a whispery breeze, well-carved handsome features that were almost beautiful, taking on a serene cast as blue-green eyes studied the blue-green water that rolled gently to a picture book tan and shore. Nice. Wow. I watched her taking it all in as she lounged there on no towel, basking
oh,
in the...
Oh, God! This is getting erotic.
I slid my hand down my pants. Don't say that.
Damn, I like it.
Now I want to read. All right, this has been Geek Brunch.
I hope you enjoyed it.
You enjoyed the show? I'm going to be busy for a little while.
Well, since we're talking about hard case, let's go into Trigger Man.
Trigger Man!
Freaking amazing. Written. Like, this, I'll just tell you right now, this is the best comic I've read all week. This is mine.
Book of the week.
I loved
Book of
it.
The week.
I loved it. And I hope Peep Show is just as good. Because I love this one.
Now, Peep Show is by a different writer and artist, though.
I know.
So I don't know if you can draw.
But I did like Peep Show number one a lot. I gave it a 5 out of 5. With Trigger Man. So I look forward to finishing that one. I also look forward to finishing Normandy Gold when it's done.
Oh, that was good. I love these books.
Oh, the way this began and the way it ended and the way each issue, like I read them in singles, but the way each one issue flowed was just phenomenal. It was amazing. Because this guy, I mean, it's totally a freaking love story, but it's violent to get there. Like it, but like he loved this woman so much that like money meant nothing. And this is like prohibition years. I mean, this is, and $500,000 is worth a lot more than $500,000 now.
Like, right. This is in 1932.
And two guys robbed from the wrong group. And they basically broke this guy out of prison. I mean, they took him, they faked his death in prison, got him out of prison so he could go after these two with the only objective is, you can keep the money, we just want them gone.
Yeah, and we want you to kill these guys.
Yeah, we just want you to kill these guys. And that's what they paid him for. They got him out of prison to do that. And he found out that the love of his life was involved with one of the guys that was sort of tangentially involved. In other words, he was after the money too.
Right. And yeah, so it's interesting because, well, at first you know about the money, you don't know about the girl, but then you kind of find out that not only is he looking for the money, he's also at the same time trying to find his girlfriend who he was seeing before he went off to jail and then lost track of when he was in jail.
Yeah. But the irony of it, Bill, I mean, he went this whole distance and his is the bullet that ended up killing his love. I mean,
spoilers.
Well, God dang, it's been out forever. I guess the trade hasn't, but damn.
Yeah, it was, It was really well done. I totally enjoyed the hell out of this book.
And then
and it
there
was
was that
interesting
one,
because
the one girl that he met at the beginning and slept with, right? At in, in issue one, he says, "Hey, there's going to be a day when I call upon a favor from you." And it was a favor when he was shot and the girl was shot and he tried to get medical help and they tried to save both of their lives. But that girl came into play and ended up running away with the cop that was kind of his ally. It was a strange alliance because other people tried to blackmail him along the way and he killed them all.
Yeah, he goes after a lot of people in this. But it's interesting because, like, throughout the story, so he goes to, like, I don't remember the first person he went to, but, he goes to the bar, and then the bartender leads him to another person. But he keeps getting led around, and even going back to people he saw before, because the trail, like, goes back to them. So it's a complex maze of a trail he has to follow to try and find where the money is at, what happened to it, and also where his ex-girlfriend or his girlfriend is at. It's good.
Yeah.
And this was so it's a story by Walter Hill, and original story by Walter Hill, adapted by Maz with art by Jeff, who Matt's and Jeff have worked on some other stuff as together. They actually did, I think they did the another Walter Hill story, which was The Assignment. Yeah, they did that as well.
That one I haven't read yet either. Can we read that next week? Do you have that?
I don't think the trade has come out yet.
Oh.
I can read the first issue.
All right. Well, let's go for that.
So, an interesting... So, I read the back matter in the trade. So there's an interview with Walter Hill, and the name Walter Hill was familiar to me, but I couldn't remember exactly what he did. And so I looked it up, and he actually did. He was the writer and director of Warriors, 48 Hours, and another 48 Hours, among other things. Namely of which. He wrote and directed one of a movie that we've talked about on this show before. I think we actually talked about it last episode. One that you turned me on to and has since become one of my favorites, Southern Comfort.
Oh my God, that's a good one. He did that?
Yeah, he did that.
Oh man.
So like, no wonder I like this.
Southern Comfort is an awesome movie. I must have seen that like 7 times as a teenager. I loved it. Like I recorded it off of one of those movie channels and put it on VHS, and I watched it like over and over again. Like if I was bored, I would just pop that tape in and watch it. I love Southern Comfort. It's such a weird story. It's so weird. I mean, who would have thought you write a plot about a bunch of National Guardsmen that go out into the swamps in the bayous on an exercise with blanks, and you have one asshole that shoots at these Cajuns, and all hell breaks loose. They get hunted down. I love that movie.
It's also good because it's almost like three movies in one, because it starts out where they're just on this exercise, so it's kind of like a military exercise. So you got the military stuff, but then they get lost, and then you have the next story, which is like they start getting attacked by an unknown force, and then the last part of the story is they're in this like little village, which is like the creepiest part of the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a wonderful movie. I actually own that on Blu-ray.
I didn't know they had it on Blu-ray. Oh my God. I'm going to have to go to Amazon.com and look this up. Amazon. Let me see here.
I know a lot of people are against the physical copies, but some of us still have an appreciation.
Yeah, some are all digital. And yeah. All. When the digital apocalypse comes and the Russians hack your servers and you can't get to nothing or see any of your movies, me and Bill will be sitting there with our Blu-ray player with a big middle finger in the air to all of you.
Yep, when the EMP hits and yeah. all your digital media is gone, we'll be sitting there watching Southern Comfort.
That's right.
So, and another interesting... So there's... comic book adaptations of two of Walter Hill's movies, Bullet to the Head and Assignment. Those were both, and I think that those were movies first, and then Metz did a story based on them. And it's said in the interview with Walter Hill. Let me see if I can find it here. It came to be a graphic novel. So he's talking about Trigger Man, and he says, it came to be a graphic novel through Metz, who I met in New Orleans on the set of Bullet to the Head. He asked if I had any scripts or stories that might transfer into comic book form. I told him I had about 30 of them. So basically, it looks like they're taking stories that Walter Hill has written, probably screenplays he's written that never got turned into movies, and making them into comics, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So if we get more stuff like this, I'm all in.
I'm impressed with the line. Like, I'm ingrained in it, and I love this book. Like, this book was the art was amazing. Like, if this guy could draw the Guesser, like, he's totally the guy I'd want for. If because he has that, like, and then if I could get these guys to do, like, the painted, like, I would totally do the Guesser in the cover style that's, like, these books that we're talking about.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I mean, I would freaking love it. And I would even have him do, like, all my covers would be in this style. Like,
but you'd have to have, like, the Guesser, like, walking in, like, I like a door frame, and the other side of the door is, like, a woman in the bathtub or something.
Yeah, that's what it would happen. The husband would be there, the one that beats the crap out of him.
Oh, yeah, it could be a husband, like, standing over.
Yeah.
And she's, like, holding her arm up and
protecting
herself. The guest
is walking in to, like, he has to protect the neighbor, right? And he's walking into the bedroom, and she's, like, in lingerie or whatever, and... there's the husband, the big ass husband that beats the crap out of him. Oh, man. Damn. And then I would, oh, God, I could do first and ah would be the same style of cover, except this time it's got the football player, the center, right? He's freaking on all fours and he's getting whipped by the Donna Matrix.
Nice.
Oh, man.
That would be a nice football cover.
Holy
Does he have his helmet on?
Yeah, he has his helmet on, but he doesn't have anything else on. And she's sitting there with, like, she has her thing in a ponytail, like one of those long strands, and she's wearing all leathers, and she has those nipple things on, the tassels. Oh, man. Got it all planned. Hard case crime. Greek brunch. Even though first and ah doesn't really fit into that. I would make it fit.
You would add some crime?
The people that I know have read it, and there's very few. Like, there's the guy from... that does the podcast for Comics and Fun and Profit.
Yes.
He's really into these hard case crime books too. Like, he's the only other one that I know besides us that are reading them. I think Ronnie is reading them. Ronnie Barron.
Someone must be.
From the Nerdy Legion. But, man, if it had, I don't know, if people would just give these books a try and they like the crime noir, I think they would love them. Like, they're just, They have so much to offer.
Oh, here, I just noticed at the back here it says that the movie Bullet to the Head was based on a Matz graphic novel called Headshot. So apparently, so that might be how Matz and Walter Hill met, because I think Walter Hill made a movie out of one of Matz's graphic novels, and then Matz was like, hey, do you have any stories that I can turn into graphic novels? So they have a symbiotic relationship there. Woo! Good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the DVD, because I added this to my cart, it brought up movies that I want to see that I haven't seen. Like The Long Riders. It's a Western, and The Driver. So, yeah, there's some that I'd like to see. Deliverance, it tells me. Go watch Deliverance. Which, that's the movie I would say, if you like this movie, to go watch, but...
Yeah.
Nick Nolte in Extreme Prejudice. Rolling Thunder in The Sorcerer, 1977. I've heard a lot about Driver. I want to see that.
Which one is that?
It's got actor Bruce Dern. It's from, I don't know what
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that
Walter
one.
Hill's also, the director.
Walter Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to see that.
Ryan O'Neal, Bruce Dern, and Isabella Adrani. I want to see it. Like,
me too. Let me see if, where I can get it from. Let me check the Netflix. I don't think it's on there. I think I looked for Walter Hill movies on Netflix, and they didn't have anything. Let's check the library.
The Driver.
See if my library has it, The Driver.
Nourish grit and slam bang action. Walter Hill from 48 Hours and the Warriors. Yeah, this just sounds like it's right up our alley there. We need to see this. The Driver. I think I taped it, but I think I erased it because I wasn't getting to it. I check our DVR because I know it's way down there. But I think we erased it. I think I erased it when we were running out of space.
See, Driver. This isn't it. What is this? Taxi Driver.
Taxi Figure Driver out how is an awesome movie.
Yeah, it wasn't the movie Taxi Drivers.
Me and Chris watched that on Retrocast. That was freaking awesome. I hadn't seen it before.
Oh, you hadn't?
No, that was the first time I've ever seen it, and it was amazing.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Amazing Robert De Niro film, man. Like, badass. So
yeah, my library just seems to have a newer Driver, not the old Driver.
Would you say Trigger Man was your favorite read of this week's, or would you say there's another book that stands
yes,
above
I think
it?
So.
Like this
no,
was
I
above and
was.
Beyond to me. Like
it got me the most. It got me the most excited.
Like
to the
even
point
the...
where afterwards I was well. Okay, here's how you know because I read all the back matter in the trade.
And then you wanted to go look at the movies
I don't
so,
usually
that
do.
Walter Hill did.
That's
yeah.
the sign that I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I looked up Walter Hill movies afterwards.
And me, what I did is I looked up what more of the hard case.
And I was happy to
novels.
See that he.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna read a novel. Oh. Hell.
Hang on
hell?
A second.
All right.
I'll be right back.
All right. What's going on, Barb? You were shaking your head earlier. You were going like this.
Was I reading something?
Was
I reading something?
I don't know. You were looking at this. Bill had to go away for a while. There's fire or something. He's going to go chain him to the fence or something. Yeah. Or they got loose. He'd be able to eat that salsa, don't you think? Is he that much of a wussy? I wish I could hold down Daryl, like, just hold him down and just say, eat this wing. Like, eat this hot sauce. Eat it. No, because if I toughened him up, if I what is he, the sweet barbecue bullshit? I mean, this, oh, what's, who wants sweet salsa? Who buys salsa that's sweet? It's not candy. It's supposed to be
sweet
hot.
Salsa, like mango?
Who puts mangoes in their freaking salsa?
My connection is terrible.
What's wrong? I can hear you.
Well, we had that pineapple salsa.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
What's going on? You're yelling at people.
My connection's terrible.
I can hear
you. Sound
just
like a
fine.
Robot.
Oh, I sound like a robot?
Weird. Yeah, you sound like a robot.
You sound fine. So, do you want me to call you back? See if it helps.
No, because hang on.
I think he made everybody disconnect their servers, and they're like, they don't know how to deal with life without being plugged in. I heard.
My kids are freaking out.
That's because you unplugged them, huh?
They're disconnected. They don't know what to do.
Don't they know how to go outside and play?
That's right. It's a nice day. Go outside.
Chain them to the fence. Go tell them to build a fort.
Yeah, go build a fort in the backyard.
Oh, I heard that response.
They didn't like that one.
They didn't like that one.
Go outside for a second. Let me lock the door.
No, it like caused a tantrum when he said that. He's like, go build a fort outside. And he's like,
oh, now I can't hear Mike.
You can't hear me? You want me to call you back?
Yeah, call me back like in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Call me back in 5 minutes.
All right. Okay. Hello?
Hello.
Is that better?
Can you hear me? Yeah, it looks like it's better.
All right. What did you do? Did you lock him in a room?
Basement.
In the basement.
No, oh, I just restarted. I restarted our router.
Ah.
I think it was congested.
Your kids were not happy.
they
were
not
happy.
But kids
daddy
these
needs
days.
Daddy time, right? He needs daddy time sometime.
Yeah.
Where he could talk about hard
daddy needs
crime.
To talk about comic books.
I'm a grown-ass man. I need to talk some comics. So we read some other stuff. Another one we read is Aliens, Dead Orbit by James Stokoe.
Yes, Dead Orbit.
And this read to me like a stereotypical alien story. And if you like James Stokoe art, I mean, there's that plus.
Yeah, it is basically a classic aliens scenario with James Stokoe art. But I mean, it's well, I thought it was very well done and well told. So if you're into aliens stories in this one, there's basically like a refueling station out in space somewhere, and this the ship comes by the station that they don't know who it is, and they try to contact it and it doesn't respond, and they do a scan and see that there's life forms on, so they go on board to investigate.
They actually F up, though, don't they? They try to recuperate those guys off the life pods, and they burn them to death.
Yeah, they find three bodies in the life pods, and they say, okay, let's wake them up and see what happened. And so he starts the process, and something goes wrong, and it floods the pods with whatever it is, some kind of acid, and then
it literally burns their whole skin off. They look like they're at the muscle layer. But it's told in a weird way, because it's like he tells it like current time and then a flashback, right?
Yeah, because
current time, it looks like he's by himself.
He's the lone survivor.
He's the only lone survivor. And he has like some kind of alert going off saying, hey, you got to take care of this on the computer or the ship's going to be destroyed, or the station or whatever it is. So he hears the alert and he goes and takes care of it. And when he goes down there to do whatever he needs to do, there's an alien. Or he keeps seeing images of an alien. And it's not really an alien, but at the end it really looks like it is an alien. So, but the flashback is when they're all together on that ship trying to bring them back to the medical bay, because the people are still alive. They just got burned. He says, we're bringing up three people plus our guys. You know, we need to open up the medical bay, right? But it was good. It's very suspenseful. That guy looks really shady, though. The smoker guy. I mean, they make it a really good point that he's always smoking. Are you there? I lost him. Or he's hit mute.
The kid's been outside and cut the line.
Or the kids cut the line. Like a backhoe that took the whole internet down. They're like, screw this.
We can't be on it, neither can you.
Clip. I'll show you, Daddy.
Right, I'm back.
I didn't know you left.
God damn it, hang on.
All right. He's having technical difficulties because of the internet. It's the kids of the new generation. All they need is YouTubes. I want some salsa now, but it's kind of too early. What do you mean, yes, it's too early? You don't tell me it's too early. So I'm going to have to bring up this Ross, because he didn't tag me on this. He just tagged you. Okay, Mr. Ross. Ross says, hey, Lab Barb, I hear on Geek Brunch you have a bit of a bird poop problem. Maybe you should paper train them. Think you have plenty of paper lying around. What a friend. What a friend to the show, huh? A guy who listens and enjoys Geek Brunch is, though they're not great ideas, he's betraying me. He's betraying, what has this become? Instead of offering Patreons and money and awards to the hosts, worlds are colliding. Just like on Seinfeld, worlds collide and they betray the host. Instead of providing Patreons, like 11 o'clock comics gets Patreons, everybody gets Patreons, instead of they want to take away from me. What kind of world do we live in where people enjoy a show and they want to take away from the host? Barb, he doesn't even tag me because he doesn't want me to see it. He just says, hey, Lab Barb, I hear on Geek Brunch you have a bit of a bird poop problem. Maybe you should paper train them. Think you have plenty of paper lying around. What kind of fan is that? It's not a
Who
great
said that?
Idea. Ross! I mean, I'm just talking about how angry I am. You know, we have all these people supporting these Patreons, and we have fans that listen to the five people that listen to this podcast, and they betray me. They betray me. The two people that listen to this podcast, they
the
steal...
Super fan, the super fans?
No, no, what is the world coming to, Bill? The two people that listen to our show steal our content. They steal our content. And then we have another fan, Ross, who listens to the show, and he doesn't tag me. He just says, "Hey, Lab Barb, I hear you have a bird poop problem. Maybe you should paper train them. I hear you have plenty of paper lying around." What kind of fans do we have? They don't want to reward us. They want to take from us.
Man. What? So they're stealing our show, stealing our comics.
Want to
for
take
bird
our
poop.
Comics for bird poop. What is this coming to? I see a betrayal. Lots of betrayal from the fans. From our 10... We had record downloads last time. Do you know that? We hit 15 downloads for that episode.
Amazing.
Yeah.
15,000 downloads.
No, it was 15. 15 downloads.
Oh, 15.
Yeah. And every one
That's
of those 15
record.
Are betraying us. I just know it. One of those
listeners...
They're
just downloading it so they can betray us.
Yeah, betray us. One of those listeners is Daryl Taylor. And what he says is, "Mike, you jackass. You can't say I like Brian Michael Bendis' infamous Iron Man because it's shit." They betrayed me. He betrays me too. He says, "I like Hickman's FF. I don't like Iron Man books."
So he says, "You're wrong."
Yeah, so it's all about betrayal on Geek Brunch. We don't have any loyal listeners that love us. They just listen for factoids to destroy us.
To destroy us. They're trying to take us down.
Take us down.
Here we are, trying to share our love of the medium that we love. And what do? Stab us in the back.
They stab us in the back.
Stomp on us.
Yes.
Smacking our faces.
Every other podcast gets Patreons. They get
t-shirts. Patreons.
They have t-shirts and they say, "Buy our t-shirts."
People are buying their t-shirts and wearing them on the street.
Wearing them on the streets. We don't ask for nothing. We ask for an iTunes review. You know when our last iTunes review was? 2004. What the fuck?
You know what happened last time I was on the street and someone recognized me?
Yeah.
You think they bought my shirt? No.
No,
they ripped my shirt off me.
They ripped,
ripped
your shirt
off
you.
Ripped and it right off.
Yeah.
And spit on it.
They spit on it.
God damn it.
I don't know, man. What's the world coming to? We used to have thousands of listeners. Now we only have 15, and each one of those 15 listeners hates us.
Hate us. They used to line up.
They only listen out of hate.
That's when Micah was on. Ever since Micah left,
yeah.
It's downhill.
Yep. And it's all been about betrayal. They'll go to Barb and they'll say, "Hey, Barb, you have too much paper in that house. You should turn on the stove. Why don't you turn on the stove?" What kind of people are these?
You could accidentally turn on the stove.
Yeah.
Self-cleaning.
I hear there's comics in the sink. Maybe you should turn on the water. Maybe you should soak those comics and teach him not to put them in the sink.
That'll teach him, Barb. That'll teach him.
Yeah. Worlds are colliding. Worlds are colliding. This is like Seinfeld.
Oh, that's depressing.
Yes, damn depressing.
You think that they would at least give us a pat on the back once in a while.
Yeah,
say,
like, good
hey.
Job, you know?
Yeah, good
job.
I thought that was rather humorous when you talked about the birds pooping on you.
Yeah. Instead, they're like, "Why don't you take those comics and rip them up and use them to paper train those birds?"
You know, comics work well as bird housing material.
You should go camping and use it as toilet paper, because you never know when you'll have to take a shit. What kind of listeners do we have, Bill?
You know, birds like to use paper in their nests.
Yeah.
Comic books are made of paper.
People like to wipe their asses with paper. Why don't you
throw a couple in the backyard? Problem solved.
Damn it.
Hey, Barb, why don't you wipe your ass with my comics? That's too far. He went over the line.
Over the line.
When people go behind our backs to harm us.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
What does that say about society? What does that say about society? It's this new society. It's gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah.
And if we don't like it, then we're going to go behind your back and we're going to dox you and destroy you.
I think that all the Nerdy Legion and Ross are millennials. I really do. Pretending to be old. Millennials pretending
what?
To be
Mole
old.
Hills.
Molehills.
All right, hang on. I got to go kill someone.
He still can't hear me. He says, hold on, I gotta go kill someone. I think he needs to boost his internet. Like, he's on that threshold where, like, if you even turn on an iPad, it's like, there goes my bandwidth.
He needs to change the password and lock him out, and then they can't get on.
That's what he needs to do. But then they'd be yelling, and then he wouldn't be able to podcast. They'd be like, hey!
Dylan, you'll come home to a trashed house.
All the technical difficulties we're having with Skype is amazing lately.
Well, it's not even with Skype. It's
well, in his case, it's the internet. Yeah. Like, when I talk to Daryl and them, well, actually, he's... My quality on this side says it's good.
Mine said it was good, but you're breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I kicked a kid off the internet. Punched him in the face. Now he's got more to worry about. I didn't really punch him in the face. For the record. I told him to go write some more Alfie and Mr. Bubbles.
Yes.
You should be working on that. Color these. I need more ideas. Go come up with more ideas. These comics don't make themselves.
But he needs the internet to come up with those ideas.
No, he doesn't. He should use his imagination. Kids these days don't have imagination. That's the problem. They're going to rely on our generation for all the ideas.
Really?
Yes. All they know how to do is create YouTube videos of them doing hilarious acts and eating foods and cooking ridiculous foods and
shooting,
opening boxes to show what amazing things are in their boxes.
That other people are getting. Instead of working hard to buy their own box.
Yes, so they could they'll get their do YouTube box. Videos and get sent free boxes.
I don't know what the world's coming to.
It's a shame.
But we have a few more books to cover. We have Smoketown.
Smoketown, yes. Which I actually talked about on an earlier Geek Brunch, if you'll remember.
I don't.
This came out like a long time ago.
Not really. The issue 3's out. Let's see what the end of season says in it. February of 2017. So, yeah, I guess it was a while.
It was a while ago. This is the one.
This one was, is by Philip Kennedy Johnson, and the artist is Scott Van Domelen. Dolmellin. And it's
And I
about.
remember when I first read it, I didn't realize that it was an ongoing. I thought it was just like a one shot.
Oh.
Because are they like done? Do you read more than number one or just number one?
I read the whole story, Bill. I don't like to just read number one. Why would I just read number one? Yeah, I think
So,
you're the only one that does that.
are they all like done in one stories?
No, they're all
connected.
I think. Well, I haven't read number two yet.
I just asked you, and you said you're. Well,
you said, "Do I just read number ones?" And I said, "No, I read number twos."
I said, "Have you read them all, or did you just read number one?"
No, I've just read number one.
Okay. Because number one was kind of I thought it was a complete story, so I only
But
thought
it ended
it was
on a cliffhanger.
I don't know if it's going to get resolved in number two.
Well, I'll let you know, but I'll go read it today, and I'll say, hey, it's not a one-shot.
There's a number two.
Yeah.
Surprised me. That there was a number two. Like, why would you make a number two issue of a comic book?
Well, it was a simple story, but it was well done.
I really liked it.
It was, the art was great. The story is about a woman that was being abused by her lover or her husband. And they had a kid, a little kid. And it looked like he might have had some, like, PTSD from the war to me. Like, he had something going on, and he would beat his wife, and one day he took it too far and she killed him. And it sounds like she was the daughter of a sheriff, like, that when she was little he would tell her about evidence and all this stuff. So she had to find a way to take his body out. She actually got pulled over. They had like a drunk driver thing going on. And she got away from that and then took his body and threw it over the bridge and left the car there like he would have done it himself. Like he was drunk and he would have committed suicide. And people had evidence of them talking about that him and this other guy would commit suicide over that bridge. And the only downfall to that story was the one cop that stopped him for DWI, he would have known that they stopped that car. And then the other thing was there was blood. There was a little bit of blood on the door of the car. And they focused in on that on the last panel of the story.
Right.
And that's why
there,
I thought
there
it was
evidence.
Gonna be continued. Yeah.
Could be. I mean, they're obviously when I first read it, I thought it was a done in one, and I'm not sure why I thought that. Maybe there was a gap between. Very much, yeah, there wasn't really a gap. I don't know why I didn't think it was more than one issue, but I'll definitely be getting the trade of this because, yeah, like you, I really enjoyed the first issue. I thought it was really well told.
Yeah,
it stuck with me afterwards too.
I felt the pacing of this story and Baby Teeth were the same, like in terms of storytelling style, like not in terms of the content, but in terms of how you tell a story. And I actually preferred this to the Baby Teeth. Even though the Baby Teeth was interesting too, like I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think I did too. I really enjoyed Smoketown number one. I was duly impressed. And that's Scout Comics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. I'll for sure be picking up the trade of that when it comes out.
If they have trades.
Son of a bitch. So I'll be going back and getting the
single
the
issues. I think we have Baby Teeth then. This is Donnie Cates.
Yeah, we have a couple Donnie Cates books.
I will say Baby Teeth and the Star Trek I enjoyed more than Redneck. I don't know why, but I did. Baby
Don't remember
Teeth
what I gave Redneck.
Is similar pacing. Like, Smoketown had a woman describing the whole, from her viewpoint, the story from beginning to end. In the second, in Baby Teeth, you have the same thing, except it's like the woman's writing a letter to her son, who
Right.
she left with somebody, I guess, and this is the letter of why she left him. And
well, it's not a letter, right? She's making a video. She's recording a video on her phone.
Oh, that's right. She's recording a video.
Yeah, telling her life story and how they got to the point they're at now.
And she had a baby right out of high school.
Yeah, it jumps back to when she was 16 and she was pregnant at school.
And she hid a baby, like she hid her pregnancy, and her sister knew about it, but nobody else knew.
Yeah, and her sister's like a druggie.
This is weird too, because, not to say any names, but this happened in my high school. There was a teenager that lived on the road next to us we knew, but nobody knew she was pregnant. Nobody. Even the parents. And she hid it until something happened and she got caught.
That actually happened to my next door neighbor.
Oh yeah.
When I was in college, but next door to my parent where my parents were, the same thing happened to one of their daughters. She got pregnant and she hid it as long as she could.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what happened to this one. So yeah, it's a real thing, except that it seems like this baby, like every time she has a contraction, it feels like an earthquake, right?
Yeah, the earth shakes. I don't remember, does she say that how she got pregnant?
I don't think so. I don't think she ever talked about it. She, other than she's hiding it and her sister tries to help her.
It says, your father, he wasn't around.
Yeah, he wasn't around.
Yeah, so she, every time, so she starts having these contractions and her sister, like, rushes her to the hospital, and on the way to the hospital, she keeps having contractions and there's, like, earthquakes as they're going there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she is having the baby, she kind of goes off into some weird dreamland. Or I can't remember what she saw there.
Well, she said she died when she had the baby.
Yeah.
She actually
I think I died.
Came back. She had like this scene where she was dead, where she had these visions and such. And then when she came back, her father got there, and I guess her father's away from them all the time. Looks like he's in the Air Force or something. And then it cuts to 1 year from now, and it's in Palestine. So.
Oh, that's where she's recording the video?
Yeah. Which is an interesting way of storytelling, because Tom King did that in Batman just recently.
Yeah, it's a common storytelling technique.
In this one, though, it wasn't as confusing. Because you had two threads. You know, she's filming the videotape. It doesn't say, like, when in timeline she's filming it. But you know at the end that it's 1 year later that she's filming it. And she's telling her past.
Right.
In the Tom King one, there's a lot of story going on, and you can't tell if it, like, it's supposed to take place after Batman Year One, and you can't really tell until the end when they're in the bed together, and then he's like, oh yeah, that was, let me tell you about the story about the Jokers and Riddles, you know. Similar storytelling, one I understood better than the other, but.
Yeah. I enjoyed this, but it didn't really blow me away. It's pretty a straightforward story, at least in this first issue, of her being pregnant and then having the baby.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the overall storyline is that the baby is like the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where it goes from here, I guess. It hasn't gotten to the good stuff yet.
We have Star Trek Deviations. Now, that was a one-shot.
It was?
Yes, IDW put out these one-shots, which are like what-ifs with their franchises. So they had like X-Files Deviations. They had Star Trek Deviations. They might have had Ninja Turtles Deviations. I don't know what all the properties they touched.
But why does it say to be continued then?
It's not to be continued. I think it's just all Elseworlds, I think, end like that, don't they?
I don't know. I'm looking it up. I'll look it up while you discuss.
Yeah, I think this is just a one shot. There's no intent for them to come out with any more.
Okay.
Maybe they'll do it next year. I don't know.
Maybe he hopes it will be continued. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no description on it. I think it's a pretty. In the solicitations, it said this is deviation months where we take some of our properties.
Oh, I guess it does say to be continued? Question mark.
This one Barb would be able to answer better because she's a Star Trek Next Generation fan, and I don't know, I don't have any love for the characters or anything, but it has to do with their timeline, and it's like, what if the Romulans did something before somebody else? Maybe it was the Borg, I don't know. And what it turned out to be is the Romulans kind of were in charge of everything, and Riker was in charge of a rebellion, and he's the only one that seemed to remember like what people were and what their roles were, and with time, and they were all forgetting.
Right, yeah, it's like they had their brains wiped or something.
Yeah.
They can't remember certain things.
And he actually breaks into a prison with his team, which is like Geordi, Data. Data's just ahead.
Yeah, Data's ahead.
Worf. Worf is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think not the Wesley Crusher's mom, but Troy. Yeah, I want to say Donna Troy, but that's
Deanna Troy.
Yeah, Donna Troy is a Teen Titan. Deanna Troy. So they all get there. He seems to like know and protect his own people. They get there and they find Picard, and he's like writing craziness on the wall, and the doctor wants to keep him there, which is Wesley Crusher's mom, but they break him out of the prison and escape. And they get like a teleporter to work. So it looks like it'll be continued, but I don't think its intent is that.
To be an ongoing.
And it actually, Donnie Cates said that he did get edited on this. Like he had other plans for this, but the editor reined him in and said, no, we want to do something more like this. And I think with properties like Star Trek, you have to go to like Paramount or whoever owns the thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I wonder if
it's the editor who
approved
Nick something, or if the company.
Yeah. I mean, he sounded like he was happy with it, and I actually tweeted it. And I don't usually, when I tweet to like about a comic book, I don't usually say at Donnie Cates. You know, I don't usually tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked it, so he is obviously looking for feedback from some of based on the titles, you know what I mean? You could do a search on that, maybe Star Trek Deviations or something like that, or his own name. I might have said Donnie Cates or something like that. But I liked it. Like I'm not a huge fan of this team. I have no emotional ties to any of these characters like I do the original Star Trek characters. Like I even liked like Deep Space Nine. Like Deep Space Nine I liked a lot, but I never got into the next gen, no matter how
I know you've said that. I was a big next gen fan. I used to watch it a lot.
It was always about tea and crackers and time shifting, and I just couldn't handle it. I mean, I would pick Picard as my captain if I had to pick, if I was a cruiseman and I wasn't Bones or Spock, or you know the engineer, what's his name? If I wasn't those people in that, in Chekhov and Sulu, if I wasn't in his inner circle, I would not want to be on Kirk's ship because
you're disposable.
He only cares. Yeah, he only cares about his family, whereas Picard, I think he cares about every asset that's on his ship, every person mm-hmm. that's on his ship. So I find him boring.
Yeah, I really liked this story though. I guess part of it was because it's kind of post-apocalyptic, like humanity's almost wiped out at this point. I always like those kinds of stories, but this is good. And if it wasn't ongoing, I would continue reading it. So
it
I hope
like
that
it.
We see it again.
Maybe they'll do it. I like the concept of deviation. This was only the only deviation I think I bought. I think.
Yeah, I don't think I got any of the other ones. Because I don't know if there's any properties that I cared about.
And I think the last book we had, you added a last minute, and I did read it. It was The Unsound number one.
Yeah. Did you read the other Donny Cates, the Waypoint, Star Trek Waypoint?
No, I didn't. Did you?
I did.
Oh, damn. I forgot. And it wasn't in our tweet list. Star Trek Waypoint.
We can hold off on that. So that's a... Apparently, Waypoint is like an anthology, and the first story in this number one is by Donny Cates.
Mm.
It was good.
All right, we'll cover really that. Good. We'll cover. Can we cover Star Trek? I'm writing it down too. Star Trek Waypoint next time, along with the assignment.
Assignment number one, yes.
Are you getting World War X?
I don't think so.
That's a Titan comic. And then the other one is Forever something or another. Forever.
No, I didn't get World War X. Is that based on
the Forever War? Are you getting that?
Forever War? I don't know. Yeah. I gotta... Hang on. Let me look it up. Let me consult my... database.
Forever War from Titan Comics or World War X from Titan Comics?
I'm pretty sure I'm not getting World War X. Although I might be wrong. Let's see. World War X. Oh, yeah. I got number one of World War X. So
okay.
I can read that.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Forever?
Yeah, the Forever War.
Forever War, no.
Okay, so we can do World War X.
Yeah, we can do World War X. Let me make a note. Assignment, World War X.
Star Trek Waypoint, the assignment, and World War X.
Okay, and what was the last book? Oh, Unsound.
Yes, this one was good.
Like
I like
Cullen
this one.
Cullen Bunn from Boom Studios with art which I really dug from Jack T. Cole.
Very detailed backgrounds too. Like it's
totally.
It's fascinating. This girl is living in this weird apartment complex. Like she walks by this guy that I guess she watches TV shows with him like The Bachelor. And
yeah, they watch The Bachelor.
He seems like a hoarder. Did you see inside
He's a total
his house?
Hoarder. Yeah, his apartment's like disgusting.
Yeah. And then she walks by another room and it's like she has 1,000 cats.
Yeah, it's a cat lady.
It's just weird. And then she gets to her job and she works at like an insane asylum.
Well, it's her first. It's her first
it's her
day
first
at the
day.
insane
It's they
asylum.
say she's late, but is she? I don't think she is.
I think she was, but she was only like 10 minutes late. But the lady's like making a big
freaking
deal about
out
it.
Of it, yeah.
She's like, we could give you a proper tour, but since you're 10 minutes late, we don't have time. And she, this was like the head nurse on the at the place, and she's like, I can't be off the floor for very long, so you have to follow me.
There's something going on with this girl, though, because the first thing she does is she notices, like, a razor blade, and she puts it in her hand, and she, like, cuts the hell out of her hand. Like, that's weird to me.
That she would, yeah, well, she was carrying it around, and she's like, oh, by the way, I found this razor, and,
yeah.
And the woman, and the nurse woman's like, oh, yeah, someone's been playing pranks and leaving those around. She's like, just dispose of it. But then the girl, yeah, accidentally cuts her hand when she's throwing it away.
Yeah, and she's seeing stuff, though, too. Like, she goes into the room where they said this is kind of like where our offices is. This, our lockers are here. And she sees, like,
yeah,
a bunch
but
of
she
blankets,
says,
and it's
yeah,
covered.
Yeah, she says, there's a bed back here, but no one ever for employees, but no one ever uses it.
Yeah.
And then she sees someone in the bed, and they start talking about the prince has seen you or whatever.
Yeah.
The prince sees you. He likes what he sees. He drools at the sight of you. She's like, huh? What are you talking about? And then she lifts the blanket, and there's nothing there.
Kind of reminded me of Blood Drive, because there's an Assail Asylum episode in there, too. But it was weird.
And then she goes on to meet... So she meets some of the other... Or the inmates, I guess, at the Assail Asylum.
But it's weird because she never gets introduced to anybody, so she doesn't know... who is a patient and who's a worker.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have a clue. Like, that one guy comes by and says, oh, she's trying to get out of here. She says she's normal, that she's a heroin addict, but she really is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he you think he's an employee, but he kind of just walks off.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
the only one that
know.
She really knows a real employee is the one woman she was introduced to.
Yeah.
It's freaky, man.
But then, so I don't know, this might be a spoiler. But they're giving out, like, medications. And then, like, the head nurse lady at the hospital, like, takes some of the pills.
Yeah.
And that's weird. Like, why is she taking pills? So
yeah.
Is she
yeah,
really
it's real subtle.
Working
why
there?
I don't think she's working there. But the interesting thing that he throws out at it is she's even coming from a place that I don't think she's right in the head. Like... Even the apartment that she lives in is bizarre. Like, it could be, like, its own asylum. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they do say in the book that... So this insane asylum was built in, like, 18-something or another. And it ran for a long time, and then it shut down. And then just recently it started up again. And they said that when it shut down, all of the inmates just were just let go. Like, they just went out into the world. So I'm wondering if... some of the inmates ended up living at her apartment or something.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
Although they do say, like, one of the inmates, he, like, says he used to live, he used to be a resident at the hospital, but they're like, that's impossible because that was, like, the 1800s, so he's just crazy.
That's what I think happened because they let all those people out on the street. I bet they live in her apartment complex.
And then, so the creepiest dude that literally freaked me out was the dude with the paper mask.
Yeah, yeah.
That freaked
me
out.
It's like an upside down face.
Yeah, that freaked me out when he did that.
This guy's been here since the very beginning.
Yeah. But like what his eyes, like when he flips it upside down, oh man, that freaked me out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is good. It's creepy. Creeped me out.
Yeah. Freaked my shit. There's two genres that scare me, and Baby Teeth didn't scare me yet because it's not there. But one is, possession, like demon possession, and then the other one is insane asylums, and no other horror genre really will scare me.
Will affect you.
Yeah. Those are the two genres that personally freak me out. Because when I was little, man, my parents took me to a movie, and it scared the hell out of me. It was called House of the Crazies, and ever since I saw that movie. I was terrified. And it's weird that they took me to that because both my parents are not horror people. So why would they take me to a film called House of the Crazies? I don't have any idea.
I've never even heard of this movie. House of the Crazies, aka Asylum. 1972.
Yeah, that's an old one. I was only freaking 4 years old. What the hell are they taking me to?
They took you to see a horror movie when you were 4 years old?
I think so.
That. Says this is part of the Tales from the Crypt film series. I didn't know they had a film series.
I didn't know they did either. But this did scare the crap out of me. 1972, man, I was a kid. Holy baby. I'm seeing Asylum, but I'm not seeing House of the Crazies, but it came out with that. Are we sure it's the same film?
I don't know. Something I saw said that. It is a mental institution. In order to secure a job in a mental institution, a young psychiatrist must interview four patients in the asylum.
That was it. Yeah, that was it. It's a bunch of interviews of those four patients, and they're all whacked out, man.
Oh, it's on Prime Video.
Ah. There you go.
I'll add it to my list. Nice. Widely regarded as one of the best horror anthology films ever.
I don't know, but it is terrifying.
I'll have to watch it with my kids.
It'll
I hear this is a good movie to watch when you're a kid.
turn you
It's
into
a
an
good kids movie.
engineer, I'll tell you.
It'll turn you into an engineer who likes horror.
Yeah. I just want to make sure it's the same movie, though.
Yeah, I don't know if this one's the same, the one on Amazon.
Because that is a.
This is a Peter Cushing movie.
That
This one's a
is.
different one,
It's
I
the
think.
plot sounds familiar. Yeah, it's known as House of the Crazies. This is the same film. I see pictures of it now. It's the same film. Yep. That one scared me. But I want to watch it again.
Don't
Maybe I'll
care.
watch it with you before the next episode. Spooky, spooky.
So I like this unsound. I'm on board for the trade.
Yeah, I liked it. That was probably my second favorite.
Yeah, I
Smoke
think so.
Town was probably third, and then Baby Teeth, and then everything fell underneath that.
What about Jazz Maynard, though? You forgot about that.
Oh, Jazz Maynard was probably under Smoke Town. Like, God, I like the content of Jazz Maynard better than Smoke Town, but I like the execution of Smoke Town.
Yeah, Smoke Town's a while since I read it. But I think for sure Trigger Man's first, I think then Jazz Maynard and then Unsound.
Yeah, Jazz Maynard's up there, for sure. I can't believe I didn't order it.
I can't believe you are three and four.
Well, I obviously thought I had ordered. I'm gonna have to be more careful. There's something weird going
You
on.
need a new CA. Your system is flawed.
Because with
Terribly
I,
flawed.
well, you broke me on a couple of things. The alien dead. What was it called? The
Dead
Stokoe one?
Orbit.
Dead Orbit? I missed issue two on it, but I got three and four ordered. But I don't have number two. So it's very. I don't know what's going on. I think it's because I sometimes make my orders during podcasting and I'm distracted. But.
That's That could be part of the problem.
Yeah. It could be. I don't know. I know at DC when I miss something, it's because of a bundle.
What do
But
you mean?
because they bundle stuff, and I get some at the comic shop, and I sometimes lose track because they like got rid of like the Hanna-Barbera bundle. So
Oh,
now
so you think
I think I
you're.
missed some Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, and I'm upset about that. But I'll rectify the situation. I can rectify most of them. I read Divided States of Hysteria number 2. Man, this is
Ah.
good. It's what I expected it to be, but it is really good.
Was the number two as dense as number one?
Yeah, it took me half hour to read.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot of things in motion, and you have to pay attention.
Yeah, all the different threads that are going on.
Yeah.
Plus, it's kind of a mystery, so.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Cool.
And then I finished Infamous Iron Man and moved on to the last volume of Invincible Iron Man, which is Riri. And I like it. I like her character because the first issue kind of gave her backstory. And some of it was through the eyes of the parents, and it was really interesting. I liked it quite a bit.
I heard those books are shit.
Yeah,
That's what I
that's what
heard.
Daryl says. I like him. I like him a lot. So don't
Cool.
buy it. Don't buy it because you'll hate it. Just like you hate me on this show. Everybody hates me. They just want to take me out.
Just want to steal everything from us and throw
Yeah.
us aside, use us and abuse us,
That's right.
leave us in the gutter.
Well, they really did use you.
That's true.
Yeah.
I see to eat. Don't remind me. I'm having, I mean, flashbacks. My bottom
Yeah,
being
turn it
touched.
off. It should be turned off from yesterday, but you would check it.
What are you talking about?
She was asking me if my Bluetooth is off so she could listen to Sirius Radio. And I told her, yes, I think it's off. Because my Bluetooth on my iPhone will interfere with her Bluetooth.
Ah.
Yeah.
Battling Bluetooth. Bluetooth.
Battling
What does
Bluetooth.
she need the Bluetooth
She
for?
wants to go listen to Sirius Radio on one of those speakers.
Oh, Bluetooth
A
speaker?
wireless speaker, yeah. She wants to go listen to some good music, maybe Tom Petty Radio or the Violent Femmes.
I thought you said good music though. Oh,
I
you're being
did.
sarcastic.
No,
I
those are.
get it.
Matter of fact, we did DC
That's a
Noise
good one.
finally, and it was a
No, you
nightmare
didn't. When did you
because
do? When did you do DC Noise? Last
last
night?
night, yeah. But
Impossible.
it was we had Skype difficulties because Daryl, I'll call him out. He didn't want to use his computer because it was too hot. So he used his phone, but his phone enforced that we update Skype.
Right.
And I updated Skype, and I was okay. But Keith updated Skype. Keith, you know how we talk about we're on the Commodore 64 and old technology? Well, Keith really is. Keith is on like Windows Me. He's like on fucking like this is like two things before XP. And XP's already expired. So he updated and it jacked up his audio totally. So we had to go to a cell phone so this quality isn't as good. But where was I going with this? What were we talking about?
We were talking about how Tom Petty stinks.
Oh no, we were talking about the Violent Femmes, and he says, any person that appreciates music will love the Violent Femmes.
Who said that?
Keith.
Keith?
Yeah. So I
he's got that whiny voice. Him and Tom Petty just whine, whine, whine.
No, they don't whine.
So grating.
You whine.
So grating.
Oh man, their music is so beautiful. Why can't I get just one fuck? Why can't I get just one fuck? Gone, baby, gone, baby.
I don't like it. But okay.
Well, you know
you
what
like
you
it?
Can do? You can kiss off. How about that?
I appreciate that some people like that kind of music.
That's actually, if you want to listen to a good song, Kiss Off is a good one. So I told Bill to kiss off.
Is it by the Violent Femmes?
Yes.
I will not be listening to it.
Kiss Off.
And Keith Knudsen can kiss my ass.
No, he was telling us about his memories of the Violent Femmes, and he was vomiting in a fountain one time.
That doesn't sound like Keith at all.
All right. Well, I think we finished comic books.
Yes. Wonderful comic books this time around. I watched a movie.
What did you watch?
Finally watched The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Did you see that?
I don't know. It doesn't sound familiar.
It was good. So it starts out.
Somebody saw it. I think it's, I think Rob Krieger saw it. I think.
Okay.
Somebody was telling me about that. I don't, or I heard it on a podcast, and I think if I had to spell out a name, it was probably Rob, because Rob watches a lot of horror. He even subscribes to that the Amazon Prime feature.
Oh, that horror channel.
Smash. What is it called? I can't remember. Slash TV or slash.
Yeah, something
slasher.
Like that.
I don't. It's something like that.
It's hardcore.
Yeah, he likes his horror.
Yeah, this is a good. I like good horror, and this was good horror. So this is about a it's a what's it called? Like a coroner who does it's a coroner and his son who do autopsies in their basement. Like they have a coroner's office, like in. Down at the basement of their house. Their house is pretty old. And they're about to go home one night when the police bring in this body of this... Oh, a Jane Doe that they found. They found her in the basement of a house, like half buried, where... And upstairs in the house, the couple were killed, like they shot each other or something. And they found this body in the basement. So they bring it to this coroner and his son's office. And they said, you know, the press is all over us on this. We need the results to find out who she is and how she died, like, by morning. So they're like, okay, fine. So they start doing an autopsy on her. And they start finding some weird stuff, like when they open her body and stuff. And then... There's a storm during the autopsy. There's a storm, so they end up being trapped in their basement while doing this autopsy, and weird stuff starts to happen. But it was really good. It was really really well told and really creepy. So this is definitely highly recommended. It's one of the interesting horrors, and there's like kind of a mystery because they're trying to figure out who this girl is. So there's the whole mystery aspect of it as well. So
what which one is that one on? What state? What is that on? How'd you watch it?
I just got the DVD from the library. I'm not sure if it's streaming anywhere. And it was actually directed by Andre Uverdahl. I guess I don't know if that's how you say his name, but he's a guy who did Troll Hunter, which I love Troll Hunter. So
I still haven't seen that movie, even though
I know you have.
It.
It's so good. So good. I don't even know if that's streaming anymore.
I think it is. I think I saw it.
Yeah, I don't know if this is. This might be streaming somewhere. I don't know if it is or not, but it's pretty recent. But highly recommended. If you like good horrors, this is definitely one to watch.
Cool. I don't think I watched anything since the last time. I mean, there's been some good movies come out, but I haven't seen them. I missed Dunkirk, Valerian, and now what is the other one I wanted to see with Charlize Theron?
Oh, the Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, that was the other one I wanted to see.
Which I didn't know. On some podcast that we can't name, they steal other people's content. They mentioned that Atomic Blonde is based on a graphic novel, which I didn't realize.
I did know that. It was from Oni. But I only knew it because I read previews pretty well. Yeah.
And it was interesting. I think it was originally called Coldest City, but they must have re-released it as Atomic Blonde to coincide with the movie's release.
Yeah, they probably wanted a different title for marketing, too. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure they came up with a new title for the movie, and then they're like, okay, well, we'll re-release it with that so people know it's... get some sales.
Yeah.
But I was surprised I didn't have... I recognize the name, The Coldest, whatever it is, War, City. Or Coldest, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought I had it, but I don't seem to... It's not in my database. I might still have it.
I think I had it. I don't have too much Oni stuff. Coldest winter.
That it cold
city.
I don't know. We need to trademark all these other names.
Is it coldest city or coldest winter?
I don't know.
I'll look up both. Coldest city. Yeah, that's it. Came out in 2012. Like, what I remember his name from is Daredevil. I think he did a bunch of Shadowlands things, but I'm not sure. I have to look him up.
There is a Coldest Winter prequel to Atomic Blonde, The Coldest City.
Ah.
So apparently there was both, Coldest Winter and Coldest City.
Yeah, it was interesting how Martin said... I can't remember. He listened to a podcast. He didn't say what podcast it was, where they interviewed Anthony Johnston. But I guess he came from the Rucka side, I guess, because he did take over one of Rucka's books, Queen and Country.
How did he do that?
Yeah, that's what I remembered him from. At least his name is Shadowland, Blood on the Streets. He did that.
Yeah, I know him from.
And
God,
I bought
what was it? Something
Texas
he did.
Chainsaw Massacre Fear Book. I think that was Wildstorm or Avatar. Umbral. He did Umbral, but I don't think I finished it. The Fuse.
Yeah.
I have.
And he's
but
currently
I haven't
doing.
Read.
Yeah, he's currently doing The Fuse.
Codename Bushka. I think
yeah,
I've read
that
one.
Oh, Wasteland. That's what I know him from. Wasteland. He did Wasteland.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I bought Wasteland. I only read the first two issues, though. I liked it, but I didn't finish it.
I think I only read the first trade. I have a couple of them.
What is
that
this
one went on for a long time.
What is this, Vivid Girls? I like these
Sounds
covers.
Like porno.
Yeah. What is this?
I don't see it in my comic shop.
Maybe Vivid Girls. Anthony Johnston and Stephen Grant. Who's the Avatar? Wow. I got to get a copy of this. Holy moly. I'll do the photo cover. That's what I'll do.
They don't seem to have it at my comic shop, but they don't usually carry the... porno stuff.
Ah, that's a good one.
I wonder if it's on Comixology. Aren't they having an Avatar sale?
I don't think they're going to have Vivid Girls.
Look it up.
I'm surprised I wouldn't have bought this. That's what I'm surprised. 2005?
When did it come out?
2005?
They don't have it. Let's look on eBay. Vivid Girls. Ooh, oh my. That's a... Oh, you narrow it down to comic books.
Oh, you, your eBay history now. Delete history. Delete history.
Where's the history on this? Where is it? They have statues. And action figures.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go to eBay and see what this is about.
Expensive, though.
eBay. I want to see the action figures. Vivid Girls action figures. Oh, wow. Those are awesome.
I don't see a Vivid Girls comic.
They're expensive, man. 94 yeah. bucks? I wonder if they're fully posable.
I think it sounds like they're fully posable.
God dang, I can't imagine if you bought these when they came out. Holy moly, that's $100.
This one's $400. $400. Oh, Christy Canyon. Oh, apparently their clothes come off.
Christy Canyon had some big boobs, man. Holy mackerel. I know Christy Canyon because she was in my first Hustler magazine.
Oh, you'll always remember your first.
You always remember your first. Mercedes. Wow, these figures are cool. I wonder if Barb will let me buy a set of these. What do you think?
I don't see why not.
I'll just say Bill recommended these.
So it's not comic books.
Vivid Girls comic.
I don't see the comic.
Teen Titans came up.
Yes, that's the number one hit. Teen Titans. Number 50. What were they doing in that issue? Oh, my.
Are you sure my comic shop wouldn't have it? That's odd. I was just there.
Oh, there was apparently a paperback. You can get it for $50 from resellers on Amazon.
Vivid Girls. You're right. They don't Avatar. I wonder if they don't deal in...
Yeah. 48 pages. So you can get it. $50 though.
Dang. They have the Crossed. Why wouldn't they have... Crossed is, to me, is more vile than any book that you could get away with, to me. Like anything X.
That is true.
So why won't they have Vivid Girls?
I don't know. Why don't you email them and find out?
Let's see if I could share it with you. Where could I put it?
What are you going to put?
I think I'll put it on your Facebook page. Hey, Bill, here's Vivid Girls. And tag you.
I found it on Amazon, but it's expensive.
Amazon has those crazy sellers, though.
It's almost like they have party.
Like I cannot find for the life of me the last issue of Icon. It's the only Milestone comic I'm missing, the only one, and I cannot find that last issue except on Amazon. And somebody wants like $63 for a Icon Milestone. Like, give me a break. I could buy the whole series for $63. God damn. I know it's rare, but the demand for it can't be that high.
Yeah. Well, they just put stuff... If there's hardly any sellers or no other sellers, then they can put whatever price they want. And they just throw it up there. And if someone buys it, then someone buys it, but they don't care.
Yeah. Well, I have to splice this episode together.
Fascinating.
How did we get talking about Vivid Girls? How did that happen?
Because... Oh, Anthony Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that's... See, I didn't hear the Nerdy
Wasteland.
Legion guys mention Vivid Girls.
That's because...
They don't bring it. They don't bring it like we do.
Yeah. Some people don't spend the care enough to spend the time to go deep.
Yeah, we mean deep.
In depth, like really, really penetrate the topic.
Yeah.
Fully immersive. Fully.
It says he wrote Bad Medicine too. I did read.
Oh yeah, Bad Medicine. I forgot about that.
Your love is like
didn't
bad
he also do,
medicine.
Did he also do that book with Alan Moore,
the Courtyard?
That fashion one, Fashion Beast or whatever?
Did he? That was awesome.
I think he did.
I don't think he's on here, but I'll check it. It's not on my list of in the database. Let me look up by title. That was an interesting comic, Fashion Beast.
I still need to read that. I haven't read the first issue.
For writer here, it just says Alan Moore, which is weird.
I guess I'm wrong. Maybe I thought he did something with Alan Moore.
That the Courtyard. The Courtyard. The Courtyard was before Necronomicon or Necros. What was it?
Necronomicon.
Was it Necronomicon, the one with the demon dick?
I think.
That was fucking awesome, man. That was the cult underneath the subways or whatever. That was fucked up, man.
No, he did do Fashion Beast. Why is it not listing it? Yeah, he did the adaptation of Fashion Beast.
Oh,
he did
okay.
I think it was an Alan Moore story, but he did the...
Yeah, I thought it would be weird that he would... write it directly. Yeah, it says Anthony Johnston in the cover.
Yeah, I thought he did. I thought he did.
They have Alan Moore in big letters, and
of course.
I really need to finish that story. I liked Fashion Beast.
Yeah, me too. We should read that. That's on my
weird.
List.
But I went farther than you. I think. Like I've read more than you already. I read 1 through 6 already. So if you have trade 1.
How many trades are there?
Well, I think it was a 10-issue series, so there's only one book. They only published one story. I don't know what the trade published.
Let me look it up.
Did it publish the whole thing? I don't know.
Let's see. Fashion Beast. Yeah, 1 through 10. Yeah, the whole thing.
Okay. Well, do you have that?
I do have that.
Well, I can read 6 through 10 and finish it off, and then I'll remember where I was at. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just have to find it. Don't read it until I find it.
All right. But I have to find it, too. I'm in better shape than you, though.
I think... Oh, damn it. Where is it? I might be able to find it. I think it's in a box in the basement.
Got to put the lotion on the body.
10 issues, man. That's a lot in one trade.
It is. That's why I thought it was only one trade. I thought that's weird. Because usually it'd be 5 and 5, right?
Yeah, that's what you'd think.
It's probably smart marketing, though. At least I think for their line. Because chances are, when you put out a trade, the first edition is always going to outsell any edition beyond that. So
right, because
in the terms of Avatar, you probably wouldn't sell that much at all. So
right, if you put it all in one with Alan Moore's name big on it, then
yeah,
it'd be good people to buy it. But I remember I liked the first issue; it was crazy.
Yeah. It's post-apocalyptic fashion. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you have that girl come out of nowhere, right? I mean, it's if I remember correctly, they have that girl that came off the streets or whatever as a fashion designer, and she starts working for the weird fucker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. It's like the world is decimated and fashion still exists. It's
Yeah, that's
weird.
like the last remaining part of culture that survived.
Yeah. And
I
then
like that. I like that
there's those two
futuristic,
old
weird
women
fashion.
too that like own the corporation or whatever. It looks like evil stepsisters, but they like own stuff.
Yeah, and I like it because it's almost like a throwback to like Victorian type things where different fashion for different, like the rich people had like, all the fancy frilly stuff.
I wonder if I should put Vivid Girls in the title. That ought to get some retweets.
We'll get the downloads.
Yeah, we'll increase our 15
Maybe go to
listeners
like
to 30.
18.
Yeah, oh, I'm thinking a little bigger.
Well, nice.
Because
That's good to have.
then you get all those Autobots that find out, oh, Vivid Girls, and then they
Oh,
all
yeah.
retweet you, they favor your stuff, and you go
You get
over there
tons of
and then
followers,
you click
man.
on it and then you say, who's this? Oh, it's a bunch of titties over here. What's going on? Why are they following me now?
Who's this following me? Oh.
Ooh. Yeah. I knew I should have bought that Vivid Girls number one.
Man, I should have got. I don't even remember it. If it was solicited today, I would buy it.
But you know, when me and Barb went to our first San Diego Comic-Con, this was, God, man, maybe 2006, 2007. I don't know if I have the years right. But they had like a toy booth with X-rated stars. Like they were there selling their toys, and I remember distinctively because they had this little black tarp over this area where you could go see the toys. And you'd go in there and there were all the toys were like action figures. They were like, and they're supposed to be like scalable to, 1/6 or whatever. I don't know what it was, but they had a Ron Jeremy toy. They had a bunch of the popular ones, and I wonder if these were them. But it seems like they must have a high demand if they're going for $50. Like,
I think well, they're going to have a demand, obviously, and I'm sure they're very low print runs or whatever, or low releases, low number of quantity.
Brianna Banks, Mercedes.
And I'm sure a lot of them are
I want to go.
collectible
I want
now,
to go.
like
Yeah, sure.
especially the big names.
Let's see. Show only completed listings. So I'll see if there's any completed listings. Wow, they're going for 30, 30, $50. At least they sold like three, a couple of them.
See,
But the,
sold.
all of them are best offers, so you can't really see. Wow, this
So you can get them for cheaper.
Christy Canyon sold for 128.
She's popular.
She is.
Yeah, poor Brianna Banks only went for $20.
Yeah. Christy Canyon for 105. Wow, she's going for the big bucks here. Rachel Darien, $100. Dasha, 46. This one's opened. Asia Carrera. Wow. They show the whole picture. How about that? Click on that and see what's happening here. Because this one's naked.
Oh my.
Oh my. Holy crap, they could show this on eBay? I better get out of here.
Delete your history there.
A vivid, detailed blonde hair Western girl head sculpt from Hot Toys. Wow. Sold for $30. Yeah! So we went from Anthony Johnson to Vivid Girls. So there, we bring it to you.
Now you know
everything. We don't just bring the sugar and the fluff. We dig into the dirty.
All right. We don't just hate on things.
Yeah.
And call people stupid. I don't know. Did they do that? I never seem to remember that. People who like non-digital. People who like physical copies of things.
I think he did call us stupid.
You know, poo-poo on them.
Yeah.
Like
he
some
said
people.
He said something like, all these idiots that still bought blind Blu-rays or whatever. That's you, Bill. You just bought Southern
I
Comfort
did.
On Blu-ray.
I bought a Southern Comfort Blu-ray.
You fucking idiot. You could have streamed that.
I could have just streamed it. But now I own it.
Now it sucks because I... Oh my god. I did it as me on eBay, so now it says, hey, you will like all of this shit.
It's recommended.
Highly recommended. All these sex dolls, what the fuck?
That's a good point. Am I logged in here?
Thank you, Bill. God damn it. Well, we had two questions before we wrap up.
Yes.
Pearl Hedman says, do you read more or less comics during your vacation?
During a vacation, I read less.
During my vacation, I read... Depends on the vacation. If it's a vacation, like to somewhere like Disney World or something like that, I am not going to read a lot of comics. But if it's like a holiday vacation and I'm going home, I will read a ton of freaking comics. And I usually read them in the middle of the night because I can't sleep.
But I do. I mean, I will read like while traveling, like on the plane or whatever. I'll get a couple in. But usually when I'm... mostly because of the kids. I'm busy with stuff, so...
Yeah. And Rob Krieger says, did you guys watch Train to Busan, and what were your thoughts? I did. I watched it a long time ago as a DC
we did,
Noise
we,
Challenge.
Here, if you go to geekbrunchpodcast.com, I'm going to do it right now. Follow along at home, geekbrunchpodcast.com. And I'm going to do, where's the search? Here's the search. Busan. How do you spell that? B-U-S-A-N?
B-U-S-H-A-N? Busan? I don't know. No, it's B-U-S-A-N.
Yes,
you're right.
Yeah. So if you listen to Geek Brunch number 258, we cover Train to Busan.
Yeah.
It's on episode 258. With, has the title Heshers and Burnouts. A classic episode.
Yeah,
Heshers and Burnouts.
That was a good episode.
Yeah, Train to Busan was awesome.
Yeah, we both liked it a lot. I don't think we liked I don't think I liked it as much as Rob did, though. Like, I think he gave it like 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10.
I could see that. It was fantastic.
It was good. I enjoyed it. It was one of the better zombie films. But it's been so formulaic. I like the fact that they did that thing with the business, though. You know what I mean? Where it kind of linked to the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, linked it back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the train stuff, though.
Yeah, I like the characters. I especially like that one guy that was there with his pregnant wife, and he was just a badass. Like, he's just...
Yeah.
He knew how to fight these things, and it seemed impossible, like, fighting them.
Well, I think I like that other train movie better, whatever that was called. Ice... What was that one called? Ice Crusher or something. I think it was based on a comic.
Yeah, it was. I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it.
That was
snow,
really good.
Snow
Piercer. Yeah, Snow Piercer. So Snowpiercer is good because they're living on the train and there's like a hierarchical structure where the rich people are in first class and the poor people are at the back. But then the poor people are like, we're living on this train now and this. So what does money even mean anymore? And why are these rich people, why do they get all the good stuff and we get all the shit?
Yeah.
When aren't we on the same level playing field now? So they strike a revolt. Never read the trades, though. I wonder if the library has those. Probably not. All right, are we done?
We are done.
Have we given the people enough to shit on us over?
Yeah. Have we given any more ideas for them to steal? or for they could text Barb and say, hey, Barb, I hear that Mike's having some browser things with his Vivid girls. You should check his browser history,
that's right.
Barb.
Look at Mike's browser history.
Pound Geek Brunch.
You might want to check his browser history.
I was doing research for the show, and we do the Lord's work here, so...
We have to examine every crevice of a.
Yeah, we leave no stone unhinged or unlifted.
We lift every stone.
And we don't care if there's a dick or a vagina behind that stone. We'll lift it.
We're going to lift the skirt.
We are.
Just to see what's there. Because we want to know.
We want you to know everything. Not just the flowers and candy and everything. We want you to know the dirt.
Yes, we want you to know the real gritty, real world underbelly of...
Yeah.
The top and the bottom.
Yeah. So you know right now that Anthony Johnston didn't always write sugar candy and roses. He wrote about fucking. Yep.
And fashion.
Fucky and fashion, yeah. That wasn't a clean book either.
No, that was a filthy book too.
And there's three trilogies to that Courtyard's supposed to be the first one. You know the FBI agent that infiltrated that cult of sex people that were fucking the demon dick? It was near Necronomicon, the Alan Moore book. Well, Courtyard, I think, is linked to that. Like, I think it's linked to that detective. I've never read that. He wrote part of it. The Courtyard.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have
that. I miss Avatar. Like, this fucking Jungle Girls and the lookers and shit, this is not Avatar.
No, but it's just how they're making money.
I can't think of what's happening. Like, even in the new previews, they don't have anything new. Not one thing new. They're soliciting old stuff.
At least in the last one, there was a new cinema, whatever it's called, Purgatorio. Yeah,
Purgatorio. That's.
But that's not. That's coming out, like, what, quarterly, maybe?
Yeah. And we get war stories every now and then. And
there's an Uber.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
I miss the Cross days, and there always seemed to be a good title to grab alongside it, and it just not the same.
Yeah, Cross was consistent for a long time.
What is the world coming to?
I know. Why are people buying post-apocalyptic sex orgy poop eating? Child getting their heads cut off stories. Yeah. Man,
but it's so realistic. It's like, what if you lost your super ego, right? And you're just the id. Like, this virus just strips everything.
I think it's more than that, though. Well,
it is deeper than that.
It is that, but then, yeah, when that happens, the only people who are left are the psychos because they killed everyone else.
Yeah.
They've eaten all the regular people, and all that's left is the The Psychos.
It's way scarier than Walking Dead to me.
Yeah, because Walking Dead, you just get turned into a zombie.
Yeah.
Just you'll get your
You'll be fucked to death.
get your
Like in
eyeball fucked
the
out.
suck bus, the three stages of the virus. All right, well, I better get rid of this. Why am I looking up Vivid Girls on my comic shop too? They're gonna see, what is this guy doing?
I searched for it on Amazon too. I can't wait to see my recommendations for this next week. Every site I go to, they're all linked. You know, you search for something once, and I can't wait to see the ads I'm going to see this next week.
Yeah. Group by title V. V. Looks like I won't be getting that comic book to fill anything. But I bet that's a huge collector's item, man.
So to speak.
I bet you could go to like one of those adult video award ceremonies and get signatures and stuff, and that book would be worth a lot. Comics for fun and profit, you should mention that. What a great
What a
idea.
good investment.
Yes. Invest in Vivid Girls. There's only one issue. Get it signed, get the photo cover, and then sell it to all the perverts. Bill would have bought it off of eBay today if he saw it there. $100. Money's no value. Just bam. Christine Canyon. Wow, I can't believe she has an action figure. Damn. All right, well, you've been listening to
Oh,
Geek Flex Podcast.
I found one on eBay for $125.
You found the comic?
Yeah.
Wow.
It
See.
does it does have a pay who did the art in this? It's nice.
What do I need to search for to find it?
Like a Vivid Girl Comics with an X.
Oh.
It is Juan Jose
Rip?
Rippert. Yeah, that's
Oh
what I thought
my
it was.
God. All right, Vivid Girls Comics. Yeah, that's that cover I was telling you about. The photo cover has Jenna Jameson on it. It says, yeah, Juan Jose Rip. So all you Valiant fans, we bring everything to you. Everything. We dig in the dirt and we give it to you and put it on your plate.
We take the dirt and we shove it right in your face.
Yeah, shove it right in your face. And all you investors, I mean, you turn around these books and you gain $20. Well, imagine if you bought a Vivid Girls for like $4.99 and you sold it for $124. That would be awesome. Oh man, we need to get a copy of this if we could ever get a copy because this is rip art. Holy crap. I'm seeing the interior.
It's
Did you see
nice.
that?
Yeah, I saw that one page or whatever.
Wow. That's expensive though. Holy crap.
Yep.
Stephen Grant, Anthony Johnston, Carlos Fernando, Marco Torini, and Juan Jose Rip. Avatar really gets the great artists, man. Holy crap. Jenna Jameson, Brianna Banks, Savannah Sampson. I only saw that one hit. The rest are toys.
I might have found it.
Where?
Oh, I think it's available.
Where?
$15.
Where?
Go to if you go to Avatar, and then go to store, it brings you to Comic Cavalcade, which I guess is their storefront. So you can get it direct from Avatar.
I didn't even think of looking there.
They have all four covers.
How do you get to Avatar? I got to Avatar and there was some weird culture thing. Avatar Comics?
I don't know. How did I get there? Avatar Press.
Avatar Press. That's what I want. Avatar Press. Where's the store? Store. Browse. Search for the store. Vivid Girls. Wow, you can get that cover, the exact one. And we'd be supporting Anthony Johnston, Atomic Blonde, see? There's a lot of Atomic Blondes in this one.
There are. Might have to get this for research purposes. Well, to complete my Anthony Johnson collection.
That's right. You gotta be a completist.
I'm a completist. Actually, I want it for the Juan Jose Ripart.
Are you
And
gonna order
Carlos Fernando. And we'll see.
it?
Digital.
Well, good luck with that. And explaining that to your family.
Shows up on my doorstep, yes.
God forbid the package is all messed up and the comic books hanging out of it. Oh, man. Well, you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can leave us an iTunes review if you love us, which you don't because we don't have any iTunes reviews since like 2006. Or you can contact
We
us.
haven't had any iTunes reviews since people were using Windows ME.
You can.
Perhaps 95.
Yeah.
I think we had one
We don't
Windows
get
9.
the big download numbers like the Nerdy Legion. They like said, "Oh, we just hit 10,000."
They get 10,000. They sold
Yeah.
out of their shirts, I hear, on the first day.
They what?
They sold out their t-shirts on the first day.
Really?
Yeah, they sold their first print run of 20,000 shirts. That's what
Betrayal.
I heard. I can't remember who I heard it from. I think it was from Rob.
Where, what was I saw? Oh, you can reach us on email if you want to get through email. Mike at Comic Book Noise or Bill at comicbooknoise.com. Is that our email?
Mike or Bill, yes.
Yeah, Mike or Bill at comicbooknoise.com. Facebook. Look for Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, and you can see all the episode threads there. Send us
Out some
questions, and
Vivid
we'll be
Girls
glad to
images.
answer. And if you're a Vivid Girl and then you're listening to this, contact us. We'd like to interview
Right. Anyone who is now listening, we have would like to say hello and thank you to our new listeners
Yeah,
listening
Christine
for our Vivid
Canyon.
Girl coverage. We hope you enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
We provide you with lots of coverage of pornographic comics.
And you're welcome. And on that note, we'll see you in a while. Say bye-bye, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.